10 years ago, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire...
Celsius Hockey.
Hey, welcome to another Big Fake Radio Show. Joining me as always is new Larry, Kevin Jank.
Every time you talk, it's like dragging my balls across broken glass, and it hurts.
That is a quote. Well, it should hurt. It's broken glass. That is a quote this evening from the movie we're watching, Hobbs and Shaw, which is about a young lad and his pet stuffed tiger that comes to life, and they have imaginary adventures.
Yeah.
Hobbs and Shaw.
And the kid's always peeing on things on people's trucks.
Yeah. Pretty great. Also joining us, he's back from his 1 week hiatus, my personal attorney, spiritual advisor, Tuffy.
My cock small? I go by Michael.
I should go by Michael. Yeah, this is Hobbs and Shaw, one of the, what are they called? Fast and Furious Presents.
Fast and Furious Presents, yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is the only one they've ever presented that was not part of the series.
Yeah, there's a big controversy about all that. We can get into later about how all that happened.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But, the reason I picked this film...
Was it Ludacris, I think, was not happy about it.
There are a couple people that weren't happy about it.
Yeah,
and,
I would assume
yeah, and I think of Michelle Rodriguez, I read as well. They were all upset. Because they thought it interfered with the family of Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Family. All right, anyway. What was I going to say? Yeah, I picked this because it's on Tubi. And it's rare that Tubi has a movie made in the last 30 years. So I'm like, oh, let's look at this. And also...
Oh, they have plenty, but they're all like Cigar.
Yeah. That was actually released in theaters and stuff. But yeah. It has, not only does it have The Rock, it has the tribal chief, Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And, you know, WrestleMania is just around the corner when The Rock and Roman Reigns will be wrestling Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins on night one of WrestleMania. So,
we do not recognize that he has a voice or can speak words.
I was disappointed in that. Yeah, he did the hoo-ah. But, he could have given him a line or two, you know? I mean,
yeah.
The dialogue in this film was sparkling. They couldn't spare a word.
I mean, I'll say this. Ryan Reynolds fucking brought it, as always.
It seemed like he was in another set all by himself. Like, he just showed up on, like, a separate soundstage. He shot his scenes, and then he went out.
But, yep, pretty much.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is in here. Did you see the post-credit scene?
I'll say this too about the dialogue.
Yeah.
As far as dialogue, I never was questioning what was happening because they constantly explained exactly what was happening to you.
All right, well, we'll get into it later. Let's not ruin it here. Tuffy, you've been gone for a week. What kind of adventures have you had?
Sat in my apartment. Played some Zelda.
Okay.
That's about it.
Oh, all right. You're saying, you guys take a week off. You got to really live it up, you know? Let's go.
I mean, Saturday I was working last week, and that was pretty much it. Outside of that, everything was as normal. I didn't leave my apartment. I didn't talk to anybody.
Hey, steady as she goes. That's a good week, yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I shot hockey once this week, so that was something. I think that was yesterday I did that.
And all the days blend together. There this time to
watch. Oh, yeah, there's no one there. I did that. Very happy.
I guess I had one thing happen since the last time I was on. 2 weeks ago on Sunday, it was nice out here, so I was like, you know what? I haven't been on the rollerblades for a couple months because it was winter and all. I thought, you know what? I'll go hit the trail out here and go for a little run on the rollerblades. And, I walked outside and thought, it's kind of windy out. I should remember that. Make sure I don't get fooled by how windy it is. The trail I ride on goes north to south orientation, and I start on the south end and go north and then turn around and go back to the start. Okay. And the wind was blowing out of the south.
All right.
So I made a note when I walked out the door. All right, it's windy. And I got to the trail, put my rollerblades on. So I'm going to go about 12 miles. That's about an hour or so of exercise time. Started going, thought, hey, this ain't too bad. I'm still in pretty good shape here. And I even had the thought before I left, like, remember the wind's behind you when you start. So don't, it's going to be easier than it should be.
Yeah.
And, I went my 6 miles out and thought, I'll go a little bit further. Why not? Went another half mile, turned around, and the trail's on like an old railroad corridor, so most of it's tree-lined, but the part I turned around is just big open fields around it. And I turned around, and good Lord, did I regret going that far out, because it was like 35-mile-an-hour consistent wind. Basically blocking the entire way back, and that was a rough one.
I had no idea wind could influence things so much. On the rollerblades.
Well, you're on wheels, so there's, if the wind is blowing, it's just moving you backwards.
Yeah.
Every step you push forwards. And, it took me about 25 minutes to get to the point where I turned around, and then it took me 50 minutes to get back.
With all that wind, it was probably tough keeping the darts lit as well.
I don't burn the darts while I'm rollerblading, so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe I should, but I have not yet.
Yeah.
That's good.
Wasn't sure I was going to make it on that one. I'll say that.
Well, I'm glad you made it back there, Tuff. But,
Jack, that's why if I like go for a walk around like the apartment complex, I'll literally just stay around the complex. I could walk around like town, but why? This way, if I get bored, I can just stop right away.
I just walk around my kitchen. So, Jank, what did you do? I haven't talked to you in a while, Jank, because you skipped out on Flea Market Fantasy this week.
Yeah, it was a busy, busy time of doing taxes, unfortunately.
Ooh. Well, I told the kids, I promised that you'd be back next week and you would be extra janky.
So. I'm going to get extra jank on me.
You're going to have to really bring it next week. Hey, by the way, Jank picked so much.
Although we may have to do it on Wednesday next week, by the way.
I'll have to check my schedule. I'm very busy. But I looked at that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing you picked. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
It's not a great issue, no.
It looks awful.
That series I used to love when I was a kid, and it got really good, but those early issues, not so much.
Yeah. Like I explained to Bob, I got Bob Myers filled in for Jank, and I was telling him, it looks like it was for kids by kids. Like the art looks terrible.
Yeah, man. There's a regular artist who's very good. But unfortunately, he didn't do this one. This was an art style I remember seeing in some weird kids' books I had with Ninja Turtles, not good.
I was going to say, I remember seeing this art style in the third grade when my classmates were doing it. It was terrible.
I did better Ninja Turtles drawings than this guy did.
But anyway, Jake, you haven't been doing anything this week, though? Just taxes?
No, it's a lot of taxes.
Huh. All right. Well, that's pretty good.
It's real minute.
We can talk some. Well, I do have a quick Chinese food store. You know, I like to get the Chinese food. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And every week. All right. So last week, I picked up some Chinese food for my uncle and my mom. You know, and myself, of course. And when I was leaving, they wanted egg rolls. You know, so I go out in the car and I check the bag, make sure the egg rolls weren't in there. So I had to go back in and say, hey, I think you forgot the egg rolls. And this is the place I go to every week. And I've been going there for years. So the lady comes in. She's all apologetic. She's like, oh, sorry, sorry. And they realize they forgot the egg rolls because, they had it on the order. And they're all apologetic. She went in and get it and it comes back. So she got the egg rolls. Everything's fine. All right, so this week I go. And I'm just picking up for me and my mom this time. And my mom ordered a small wonton soup and a vegetable egg roll. And I ordered the usual broccoli and garlic sauce. And again, this restaurant, they always screw stuff up. That's kind of their gimmick. So we go there this time. So I go to pick it up on the way home from shooting hockey. And there's a younger guy there. It might be the lady who runs the place, her kid or something. I don't know. I haven't really seen him before. And he's taking my order, or he's going to give me my bag, And you just give him your phone number, and they go, oh, yeah. And he goes, Michael? And I'm like, yeah. And the lady hears that it's me, I guess. And she comes out and says, and tells the guy, make sure you double check the bag, you know, just being nice. So I guess she remembers that they forgot the last time. So this sure. guy at the register, he's looking in the bag, and he's taking an uncomfortably long amount of time checking the orders in the bag. There's only four things. You know, one, two, egg roll, garlic and broccoli. That's it. And it's taking a long time. And they're exchanging words in Chinese, so I don't know what the hell's going on. You know, just all right, but he's checking. And he goes, all right, yeah, everything's good. I'm like, cool, cool, cool. So, you know, I pay and I go outside, and I'm like, so I get back to the car, and I open up. I figure I got to check the bag. You know, I just got to check the bag just to make sure. And I open the bag, and they gave me everything I ordered, but then they also gave me an extra egg roll and something else. Like a little crispy noodle thing. Hey. Yeah. And I didn't have the heart to go back in and tell them that they screwed it up. So I just got the extra egg roll. Because it was like a shrimp egg roll, you know? So one of the cats got to eat a shrimp egg roll. But, yeah.
That's exciting. Cats are eating better meat than you are.
But it's like every week. No, this place is great, though. They have the best broccoli and garlic sauce ever. But they just screw everything up every week. It's pretty good. I don't know. That's the excitement I have in my life. Chinese food.
Nice.
So I got.
Yeah.
So I got. Other than that. And then hey, I went to the post office today. I was telling Jank, Jank convinced me to sell some of my comic books. So I had to. That's a lot of hassle, though, Jank. This mailing things and going to the post office and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, you got to get a printer and just print it out yourself. So much easier.
The pain in the ass. But anyway, so I go there and they have a one little thing, you know, like I go after the post office is closed. So, it's usually quiet, but in the lobby, they have this little, what do you call it? A little, kiosk or whatever, little stand. You type in the stuff and it prints out the postage. So usually I just go in there and there's no one there, but here there's a lady there ahead of me. So I just go around the corner where all the little P.O. boxes are, and I'm just standing there acting like I'm filling out the label on the package. It's already filled out, you know? And I'm just trying to kill time. You don't want to just stand right next to this lady while she's doing her thing. And I'm just sitting there, standing over there, and I'm like waiting and waiting and waiting, and I'm hearing the beep, bop, boops on the machine and everything. And I'm still typing, and I can't see, you know? So, like, around the corner. So I'm just trying to kill time, and I'm like, wow, she's taking a fucking forever to do this. What is going on? And here I peek around the corner. She's already been gone for a while. She's still in there. So I was just standing in the post office for, like, 20 minutes for no reason. That's always fun. But anyway. All right. So that's my life. Hey, Tuffy, big sports news.
Yeah.
You teased us earlier.
Breaking news.
Pre-show meeting.
Yeah, well, first big news here in Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett got traded to the Philadelphia Eagles out of nowhere. Like, no one had heard this because the Steelers signed Russell Wilson to a one-year contract for, like, the league minimum because Denver's taking an $85 million cap hit just to get Russell Wilson the hell out of town. Like, just get out. And so the Steelers just have to pay him the minimum, and then Denver's still paying him, like, $38 million or something. So
yeah, it still seems like a mistake, but
the Dave doesn't like it. The Dave has been on Twitter bitching about it nonstop, and so I mean, I could give a fuck. I want Justin Fields here in Pittsburgh, Tuffy. That's what I want, you know. And but anyway, they say, hey, Russell Wilson, you and Kenny Pickett are going to compete for the starting quarterback job, you know. And this morning, Russell Wilson showed up at Steelers, and he had this little he signed the deal, and he had his little press conference. And he said, yeah, I texted Kenny and I said, you know, can't wait to compete with you. And we're going to make this team, you know, as best it can be. We're going to work together to make this the best team it can be and all that kind of stuff. And then like an hour later, just out of nowhere, the Steelers trade Kenny Pickett to Philadelphia for like a swap of draft picks or something. They moved up like 20 spots in the draft in like round four or something. I don't know. But so all of Pittsburgh, like this came out of nowhere. And now all these stories are like, Kenny Pickett's an asshole. There's all these stories coming out.
Yeah.
He's a real jerk.
Like, he refused till he was gone.
Like, he refused to be the emergency third string quarterback in week 17 against Seattle. Because he was mad that they were starting Mason Rudolph. And then they said he was pouting when they signed Russell Wilson. So he said, all right, just get the fuck out of here. And they traded his sorry ass to Philadelphia. But yeah, the county pick an error. It's over already.
Yeah.
Oh, Larry's fantasy team.
That's going to be rough for Larry's fantasy football team.
Yeah. So when I heard the news, I Twittered up Larry. I just said, hey, maybe wait until like the seventh round to draft Pickett this year. He picked him in like round five last year or something. And, and he wrote back saying, no, I'm going to take him. He said he's going to take him in our baseball draft, Tuffy. And then he writes back a little bit later and says, oh, wait, I just heard that they traded him. And I'm like, well, yeah, you just thought I was shitting on your Kenny Pickett fantasy pick again in the middle of, you know, the spring for no reason. Yeah, they traded him. That's why I was making the joke. But
he could draft Russell Wilson. He played baseball.
Yeah. But Kenny Pickett's gone.
Like Russell Wilson was drafted by a baseball team. It might have gone to a spring training.
I think so. I do seem to recall that at some point, like him taking batting practice with somebody or something because he was drafted. I don't know. But anyway, so what do you think, Tuffy? I think that Kenny Pickett's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. I'm sorry. He just isn't. No.
I'm not so sure Russell Wilson is at this point either, but, you know.
Which brings me to Justin Fields, because now the thought is, well, now they're going to trade for Justin Fields because Russell will just – they have 1 year where they can mentor Fields and he can learn from Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And then next year, boom, Fields is off and running. What do you think?
They better not.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think Fields is definitely out of Chicago, right, though, Tuffy? It seems like Caleb Williams, everyone's
– Yes, yeah.
So the other big news out of Chicago then, Tuffy, I don't think – they traded for Keenan Allen. Were you aware of this?
Oh, that's something.
Yeah, just yesterday, I think it was. They got Keenan Allen out of San Diego because San Diego was in all kind of cap trouble, and they asked Keenan Allen to rework his contract there, and he said nope. So they said, all right, trading you to Chicago. So now you've got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore.
Yeah, it's almost like having Justin Fields would be a good move.
Oh, that's pretty great. And then they got DeAndre Swift, the running back now, too.
Yeah.
Chicago might have something.
Yeah, let's put a rookie quarterback amongst all these skill players and see what happens.
So
great.
Yeah, look at them Bears. All right, I guess that's all the big news. Oh, yeah, we got a fantasy baseball draft this weekend, Tubby.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday, 3
o'clock. Yeah. I don't know who anybody is. It turns out.
Yeah, it's rough, man. I've been watching some mock drafts or whatever, like these YouTube people put together just to hear some names. And
yeah. Man,
I don't know anybody. I'm just drafting people with cool names. I think that's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
Pick the order?
Yeah, I just randomized the order the other day. And because I know, because I forgot to do it with Larry last week. We should have probably done it on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll just randomize it on the Yahoos or whatever. Because what are the odds that I'm going to get number one? I never get number one. So the only way it'll look bad is if I get number one. I have a 10% chance of getting number one. That's not going to happen. I got number one. So I'm like, all right, I know people are going to think it's weird. So I just said, all right, well, I'll swap pick whoever. If anyone wants the first pick, I'll just swap. And DOT fans are like, oh, yeah, I want the first pick. So I'm like, all right, you can have it. So I'm picking fourth. DOT fans picking one. I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't know who anybody is. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, Tuffy, do you know any, like, if you had the top pick, Tuffy, who, I guess Ron, some guy named Ronald Acuna, or Acuna, is that right?
Okay, that makes sense.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I've heard of him. I was going to say Shohei Ohtani, but he's not pitching this year, so I don't know if that's.
Yeah, he's only bad. Listed as a utility bat, you know, like a DH. So I think he's ranked like 7th.
He's also still a good hitter.
Yeah, he's not among Yahoo's top five, but I'll probably take him at four just because I know him. I know the name. So if he's there at four, I'm probably taking him. So.
This is going to be one of those things where the only people I know are not young players.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman. Like he's still in there. I remember Freddie. He was on my team the last time I had a fantasy team. So.
Mookie Betts, I know he's supposed to be good.
Mookie's ranked like 3rd or 4th, I think, right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of people I have not heard of in this top 10 on fantasypros.com. Don't know who Bobby Witt Jr. is.
Shortstop from Kansas City. I learned that.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard of Julio Rodriguez, but there might have been another Julio Rodriguez. Like
probably. This is a very young center fielder at Seattle. He's supposed to be a young.
Yeah, I don't know who Corbin Carroll is for Arizona.
Yeah, an outfielder, I think. Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know who Kyle Tucker is for Houston.
I never draft anybody named Kyle. That's a rule I have.
Yeah. And then I've heard of Fernando Tatis Jr., but didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, did he get in trouble for steroids, or was that the different San Diego player?
No, I think he did. I think he may have. That sounds okay. Right.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper.
There's someone named Spencer Strider. That cannot be a real name.
He's the leading pitcher. I think he was the only guy to, like, I looked at the starting pitchers last year. I don't even know if he won 20. I think he led the league in wins last year, like 18 or something, though, or 16.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, no one got 20 last year.
Yeah, I don't know who anybody is. I don't even know who the Cubs players are at this point, so that's not a good sign.
Yeah, I can't tell you either. No idea. I know a couple
pairs. They signed a pitcher from Japan?
Yamamoto is with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
He's a big pitcher they brought in.
The Pirates got the second best pitcher from Japan then.
The Pirates got that Paul Skeens kid, you know, number one. And apparently he is just crazy good in spring training. Like every pitch is over 100 miles an hour, just dialing it up. Huh. And but they're still saying like they're not going to have him start the season. So I don't know. What are we doing in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
You draft this kid who's like awesome. Just start him. Just play him.
Imanaga is the Cubs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. I don't either.
So it should be a fun draft.
Yeah. Let's see the 2023 batting leaders for baseball.
The Ed is not in this draft, right? So there's
no. I asked the Ed, and the Ed said he did not want to do it. So I asked a lot of people, and a lot of people said they did not want to do it. I am worried that because 4th and 26 is in the league now, and he does all his 30 team leagues, so he knows everybody. You know?
Ooh.
So yeah. He's got a huge advantage over all us bums in this league. So. See, but I'm interested to see what Larry does. How many Pirates Larry takes?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that'll be Sunday, and you're Larry's long balls in that league, right, Tommy?
A long ball Larry's, I think.
Long ball Larry's, Larry's long balls.
Yeah,
long ball Larry's, whatever.
All right. And signing up for this, like, I went to go to my Yahoo app and could not remember for the life of me what my Yahoo password is. So I think I had to reset that again. But I still don't know what it is because I reset it like 2 weeks ago and I forgot it already.
Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah. Yahoo asked for it a lot. So, all right. Hey, it was also the trade deadline in our hockey league. And the Penguins stink, so I decided to pray for Chris Letang just to make my team extra difficult to win. So I have Crosby, Malkin, and Chris Letang, and Eric Carlson on my team. So it's all right.
That's something.
We're going to win another championship back to back. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry. All right.
Yeah.
So let's, I guess, talk Hobbs and Shaw.
Got nothing else.
I'm out of Chinese food stories. So this is Fast and Furious. Tuffy, how many Fast and Furious films have you seen?
I can say for sure that I've seen the first one. I think I've seen the fifth one. And I've probably seen parts of the other ones on, like, TNT or TBS.
There's been a lot of them, right? Like now, 10 or so?
I take that back. I have not seen the fifth one because The Rock's in that. And I'm sure I've not seen him in any of these.
All right. Yeah, I don't know if what about you, Jank? Have you seen any of the Fast and Furious?
I know I saw the first one. It's pretty much Point Break, but with car racing.
Cars, yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw maybe the first half of Tokyo Drift when I was out in New Hampshire at my cousin's.
Okay.
That's about it.
From what I remember. Go ahead, Tuffy.
I have listened to podcasts about all of them.
Yeah.
Like, how did this get made? Is that what you
No,
listen to?
There's a basketball podcast I listen to that's called No Dunks. that, like during the summer one year, they watched, cause one of them is a big Fast and Furious fan. And I think it was before either the 9th or the 10th one came out. They did a podcast episode per movie cause it's, you know, the summertime, so there's no basketball. I've heard people talk about all of them, and I'm familiar with the, like, the, intra-cast disputes that exist and, timeline weirdness of the movies.
All right. Yeah. Before we get into that, I used to listen to how did that get made or how did this get made? What did we do? How did that get made? And I think actual show, how does this get made? So they used to do them on there and Adam Scott was a big Fast and the Furious guy. So whenever he did a couple and I remember I was like, oh, maybe I'll check out some of these movies. And I think I watched two of them. Maybe I can't remember which ones. I think The Rock was in one of the ones I saw. And they're crazy.
Yeah.
They're crazy. That's all.
Yep, that's all you need to say. They've gotten completely off the rails by this point.
Yeah, they're just completely unrealistic. And I guess that's a gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, they're just...
The first two are completely different movies from the last six or seven or whatever.
Yeah. They're just way over the top, nonstop action, terrible dialogue. Goofy.
Even Tokyo Drift, from what I saw, was still pretty within the realm of possibility.
Yes.
It was just like,
I think that was the last one that was somewhat. Yeah. Wasn't that kind of like almost a prequel? Like, wasn't that back in time or something in terms of?
It's after the first two. No, it's before the first four, because that's the third one. So it is in the universe timeline before 1, 2, 4, and 5, but after 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah, something like that.
Like,
of course, Paul Walker.
Again, watching Hobbs and Shaw. So they made Fast and Furious. They made two Fast and Furious. They made Tokyo Drift. They made the fourth one. They made the fifth one. And then they decided that they wanted a character from Tokyo Drift to be in the sixth one. So they just pretended those were before Tokyo Drift because the character dies at the end of it.
Yeah.
And then in the ninth one, they revealed that he's not actually dead. He faked his death.
They should have just, I mean, at this point, you're being goofy. Like, just have him have a twin brother. Just be like,
yeah.
But Paul Walker, actor again. Paul Walker was originally in these, right? With Vin Diesel.
Yeah, him and Vin Diesel were the two biggest stars of the cast. And then you have, like, Ludacris and Michelle Rodriguez and...
Gal Gadot was in one I saw.
Yes, she's... And it also seems like every time there's a new bad guy, they will be working with the crew in the next movie or two after that.
Yep. A lot of flipping.
Yeah, because Hobbs is the Rock.
Not be a friend or a fan of these guys.
Hobbs is the Rock, and Jason Statham is Shaw. And Statham was originally a villain in the series.
Yes, he was the brother of a villain they killed in an earlier movie.
Okay.
They don't seem like they deal with his sister in this movie. None of them seem concerned about their brother at this point.
Yeah.
And
yeah, The Rock was originally a diplomatic security service officer trying to catch the crew, but then he ends up working with the crew.
Yeah, when you say the crew, this is Vin Diesel and all his chums.
Yeah,
and they
family, because they're family, and family is the most important thing.
I swear to God, the movie I saw, the word family was used 300 times.
This one they just said Uso instead, so.
On Uso. Yeah, they used the official Uso and not just Uso.
Yeah, because the plot of the first movie is that Paul Walker is a police officer going undercover to try and bust Vin Diesel and his friends.
And what are exactly, were they just car thieves or what were they exactly?
They would steal DVD players from like trucks, basically, for electronics.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like season one Soprano shit right there.
Yeah. An
episode of Chips is basically what we're dealing with here.
And then by the end of it, Paul Walker's, you know, ingrained with the family and I want to say he ends up with, like, Vin Diesel's sister or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that Michelle Rodriguez?
That's Jordana Brewster.
Oh, Jordana Brewster. Okay. I remember her now. Yeah. All right.
Michelle Rodriguez is the one, I think Vin Diesel and her end up having a kid together, but I'm not sure because people disappear and reappear from the series several times.
I think she died like by the time they did four, but then they brought her back again too. Like, oh, she didn't really die. And then she had amnesia, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So I think when The Rock came in, didn't it supercharge the series a bit? Like, wasn't the series starting to go down and then they brought The Rock in and he pepped it up again?
Yeah.
I think that's what I remember at the time when it happened. And
like, I think Vin Diesel deciding to come back definitely helped, but then The Rock really did breathe new life into it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fast 5 is seen as like the bellwether movie of the series where they start going really off the rails, and that is the first one The Rock is in.
Okay, I probably saw
off the rails in a good way. Like, that's when everything is big CG car chase.
Just crazy over the top. Air. Like, I remember there was the scene where they were trying to steal this giant safe, and it was like tied to cars, like my chains behind the car thing, and they were whipping through town, dragging this through the city. It's all over the top craziness, but it's pretty entertaining. It's like, oh, that's a pretty
yeah.
That's not bad.
In one of the movies, Tyrese Gibson and I forget which character with him, but I think the two of them take a car into space.
Yeah. Take a car into space.
They're really reaching at this point.
So anyway, all right. You mentioned like the turmoil and stuff. I guess Vin Diesel and The Rock hate each other, right?
Yeah.
Hard to believe. They both seem so easy to get along with.
Real life beef.
Now, how did this stories? Yeah, Tuffy, how did this start exactly? Do you know?
Well, I think they both. I mean, The Rock believes he's the biggest star in any movie he's in, I think.
And he is.
And Vin Diesel thinks he owns the property of Fast and Furious.
Yeah, it seems like Vin Diesel was jealous of The Rock, is how I always saw it.
Yeah.
Like the Rock came in, got all this attention, and Vin Diesel was like, hey, I'm Vin Diesel, damn it, I'm the voice of that raccoon. Or no, Groot, he's the voice of Groot, right?
Yeah. And
Vin Diesel had some kind of rules, like The Rock can't ever actually land a punch on me or something like that. Like, it was all, very ego-driven.
And I believe Vin Diesel, like, phrases it as his character could never lose a fight in these movies, basically.
Yeah.
And because Vin Diesel's like a tiny little man.
Yeah.
And The Rock is a very large man.
Yes.
Like, they cannot shoot it in any way that shows their actual relative heights ever.
Yeah.
And even though Vin Diesel's like 8 inches shorter than The Rock.
He stands on Jim Iovine's box. Jim Iovine. So, and from what I can tell then, Statham and The Rock, when they were on the screen together, everyone noticed, oh, they're really good together, these two right here. And they got good chemistry. So then Vin Diesel, he recognized this, so he made them take scenes out of the movie that they were in so The Rock wouldn't have many scenes. And that pissed off The Rock. And then they got into a big spat about it. And then when this movie was going to be produced there, they all got mad because they said it was going to screw up the family of Fast and Furious because it was going to delay the one movie that they were going to release.
Yep.
And
Ludacris was out there crying his head off. My kid's got to eat.
So that further ruined their relationship and so then, this movie was actually pretty successful.
I don't know how they can blame, like, The Rock for that one. Like, clearly, if Vin Diesel's cutting his scenes out of the movie, like, who's ripping the family apart here, really?
It just seems like everyone just
still see The Rock as, like, box office success for these movies. So, hey, we need The Rock in these movies. And Vin Diesel says, I'm going to cut The Rock out of every scene.
It just seems
that's
like
that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, you can't be mad at wanting his own thing at that point.
Like Vin Diesel and the other fellas, it just seems like they're just jealous of The Rock getting all the attention, you know? It's kind of like this radio show when Jank came in. Everyone's loving Jank, you know? And me and Larry are like, get this Jank out of here. But yeah, Jank just won everybody over. So I think the same thing was going on there.
I was rubbing up on my muscles every day. So.
But this Hobbs and Shaw was actually, when did this come out? 2019-ish, I think?
That's what, yeah, August 2019.
And it had a $200 million budget, and that all went into the Tribal Chief. And then it grossed like 700 and some million, so it made money. It was successful.
Yeah.
And there's supposed to be a sequel, and there was more arguments about whether there should be a sequel or whatever because of Vin Diesel and them. And they were started working on it, and then they stopped it. But now I think there is going to be – it's not going to be a direct sequel to this film, but it's going to be like another film in this series, but it's going to be a standalone film. And it's and Rock says it's going to be the antithesis of a Fast and Furious movie.
Okay.
Slow and deliberate.
I mean, I don't know that I trust The Rock's judgment on his own movies at this point. So, you know, because he said Black Adam was going to reset the DC universe and stuff like that.
It kind of did. When you think about it, it kind of did.
Well, yeah.
Made him start over. So I don't know. They're still working on this new movie. I don't know whether it's word on the street is The Rock is going to be taking a break from wrestling after WrestleMania because he has to go shoot a movie. But I don't know if that's this thing, right? I don't.
Yeah. So after this movie, you had Fast 9 and Fast X or Fast 10. I'm not sure how you're supposed to pronounce that. And then there is what is listed as untitled Fast X sequel slated for 2025. The next one is Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Reyes.
Who the fuck is
Reyes? I don't
know
who Reyes is.
I think it's Jason Momoa.
Good lord.
Yeah, because The Rock wanted Jason Momoa to play his brother in this film, but Momoa couldn't do it or something. So then later, Momoa appeared in one of those other Fast and the Furious films.
Okay, yeah. He was a villain recently. For sure.
So yeah. I think that's
or maybe he was the villain in 9 and he's on their side in 10, one of those two.
Yeah, so I think I remember hearing drama about that as well. Like he was doing like an actual like character and people were really digging it and Vin Diesel did not like that.
In Vin Diesel's mind, everything is about Vin Diesel. If he's on the screen, everything must be directed toward Vin Diesel.
You're taking any shine away from that bald head, get out of here.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure that's
if I recall, he was making choices similar to Aquaman, where he's just being very large and chewing up the scenery when he's on the screen.
Jason Momoa. And, yeah.
Whereas Vin Diesel likes to quietly smolder and drink Corona when he's on screen.
Corona, yeah.
He's a thespian. He's a true actor, at Vin Diesel.
Say family.
I was a
over
spoiler.
And over and over again.
It's all about family. fuck. All right, so I think that's the background basically for this and how it all came together. Yeah. How The Rock got his own movie. And the director here, Jake.
Just do the movie we all want, you know, The Rock and Helen Mirren.
yeah, Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren plays Statham's mom in this film. And I was surprised by that as well. I didn't know Helen Mirren was in this. Dwayne Johnson plays
paycheck.
All right, let's read the actual IMDb description for this. It gets a 6.5 on IMDb, which isn't too bad. Lawman Luke Hobbs and outcast Deckard Shaw form an unlikely alliance when a cyber genetically enhanced villain threatens the future of humanity. Sounds pretty great. And Jank, the director in this film is David Leitch.
Yeah, David Leitch.
Do you know who this is? Tell the people.
If I'm thinking of the right guy, because I've given him mixed up with Chad Stahelski, but I think he was one of the
people. I've never had that problem because I don't know who that other guy is. I have no idea.
I think they were like stunt coordinators in like The Matrix. Yes. And I think he did the John Wick movies, right?
Yes, this guy was a stunt guy originally. And then, he did the first John Wick. He did Deadpool No Good Deed. So is that the second one or?
Hmm.
Or no, that's the first one, I guess. That was a short. I'm sorry. It says it was a short.
Oh, okay.
Deadpool No Good Deed. Then he did Atomic Blonde. Then he did Deadpool 2. He directed that one.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, he also did the music video Celine Dion Ashes. Congratulations.
Oh, that song was in Deadpool 2. That's why.
Oh, okay. And then he did Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. Then Snow Brawl. I don't know what that. Oh, that's another short. Why is he still doing shorts? You're deep in your directing career. Knock it off with the shorts. Then he did Bullet Train, and in 2024, he's doing The Fall Guy, which is based on the old TV show, The Fall Guy.
Yeah.
How about that?
Wow.
And the writers...
Give her sons, that's for sure.
The writers here are... I read about them yesterday. Chris Morgan and Drew Pierce. Oh, they also have a third one, Gary Scott Thompson credited here. But they did the other Fast and Furious movies, I guess. And I think that Drew Pierce may have done something actually otherwise notable. But, wow, I just can't believe people got paid to write some of these lines in this movie. It's like, what? Oh, Iron Man 3. He was the writer of Iron Man 3 as well.
Oh, I like that one.
I guess The Rock is ad-libbing some stuff in this movie, too.
I don't want to ad-libbed more. That would have been nice. All right, so we got Dwayne Johnson as Hobbs, Jason Statham as Shaw. Everyone knows Jason Statham. He's a guy. He's in all those movies. What were those other movies he was in?
He's just in The Beat, which will probably be up for an Oscar because it's one of the only movies that will actually come out this year because of the strike.
The Oscars were like recently. We should do that later after we'll talk about the Oscars. But Jason Statham, he was in the Transporter movies, right?
And, yeah.
And Crank. Wasn't that the name?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Like several of the Expendables movies.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that's right. Him and Stallone. They're like the head guys. And I watched the Megalodon, the Meg. Oh, yeah.
The Meg. The movie about Meg White, drummer of the And then we have Idris Elba as Brixton. Of course, we know him as Stringer Bell. From You know, The Wire. Hilarious.
Now he's a robot.
He's a robot. Now, Statham's sister in this movie, the character's name is Hattie, and the actress is Vanessa Kirby. I have no idea who she is.
She's, you'll know her soon. Though. She's the new Invisible Woman.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Have they announced who the Mr. Fantastic is?
Yeah, that Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal.
Oh, okay. He looks smarter than that jackass from The Office. Jim Halpert or whatever. He's the worst Mr. Fantastic ever. I hope you kept the receipt. Take it back immediately. This Vanessa Kirby lady. In the movie, she's like we said, Shaw's sister, and there's sexual tension with The Rock.
Yeah. But,
she's supposed to only be 2 years younger than Decker. Or Shaw.
Hell of a 2 years he must have lived before she was born.
Yeah.
Because in real life, he is 21 years older than Vanessa Kirby.
Holy hell.
Yeah, Statham was like 52, I think, when this movie was made, somewhere around there. So, yeah.
That's pretty great. That's almost, Neil Breen movie?
Yeah.
They were childhood friends, but he was clearly like 25 years older.
He was held back a few years. Their mom is Helen Mirren, and she is in prison. And her name's Queenie in the movie. Then we have Isa Gonzalez plays Madam M. Was she that lady that they got? Like, she was Shaw's girlfriend. She gave him all the weapons and everything, I guess. All right. Some guy I never heard of.
It's like Baby Driver, stuff like that.
Oh, I also, some lady named Lori Pelanese Tuasano plays The Rock's mom in this movie because they go back to his Samoan home.
Family. Yeah.
And she is, the actress is actually 1 year younger than The Rock, but she plays his mom. That's a little weird. And, Joe Anoa'i, Tribal Chief. Roman Reigns plays one of The Rock's many brothers or cousins or whatever. And
is it Usos, Mike Bell? Is it Usos?
The Usos.
Were the rest of the Usos in there? Or was it just
no?
Oh wow.
Were they?
This was it was just him. This was filmed when Roman was recovering from leukemia. So he was away from WWE at the time. And all the other Usos are still wrestling. So, yeah, he had the time. Is there anyone else famous in this movie that we need to mention? I think. Oh, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds. Right.
He plays like the CIA contact for Hobbs.
Oh, and Kevin Hart.
What? Oh, yeah, Kevin Hart. Right. Kevin Hart. I did not. Yeah, I forgot he was in there. Yeah. He's pretty funny in this.
Yeah. The CIA guy that like contact that was like Shaw's contact, that was the guy who played Peter in Deadpool 2.
I never saw
Deadpool 2, so I don't.
Oh, it's great. He's just like a normal guy who gets put on the team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't have any powers.
Well, oddly enough, in this movie, no one has any powers except for Idris Elba. He's a robot guy. But everyone else is supposed to be human, but you wouldn't know by watching this movie. Because
no.
They do some shit in this movie that no human could possibly do.
But, yeah. Roman Reigns has the accuracy of Hawkeye when throwing those cables.
Well, I believe that. But I just don't believe Vanessa Kirby could walk away from a helicopter crash with no problems. That's one of the things.
Or The Rock could just with one arm hold a helicopter down.
Yeah, holding onto a chain. And also The Rock could like one of the most ridiculous movie scenes ever. The side of the building when they're rappelling down the side of the building.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Through. Yep, yep.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Insane.
So good.
All right. So, Tuffy, where do we begin with this film?
There's like a heist going on. There's like a team of operatives, I guess, or MI6 agents, technically, I think.
Yeah, there's a couple groups at play here. The MI6, which is British intelligence. And then there's some imaginary fictional group, Etion, I believe, E-T-I-O-N?
Etion, yeah, at this point, they're just a bunch of guys on motorcycles, or a guy in a motorcycle.
But what is Etion exactly? They're like some secretive techno...
Yeah, they're the supervillain organization, I guess.
Kind of like Spectre in the James Bond movies.
Yeah, their plan is to build the superhuman race through... robotics and viruses and something or other.
Transhumanism. They want to merge technology and humans.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of the elite want to do in this world here. The real world.
And I don't know if they're in the other Fast and the Furious movies or if this is a one-off or what, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But, yeah, so.
Yeah, they're trying to collect a package that's being secured by all these special agent types. And they slaughter everybody except for one person who injects something into herself and runs away.
And that's Vanessa Kirby, Shaw's
sister.
That's
Vanessa Kirby. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and Idris Elba is leading the charge. They're trying to steal this virus. And but she doesn't want the bad guys to get the virus, so she injects it into her body.
Yeah.
That seems like a terrible idea, by the way. Uh-huh. I'm just so glad that The Rock has a Samoan brother who knows how to get viruses out of people's bodies.
Yeah. He knows how to fix the machine that gets viruses out of people's body. He's good with machines, Mike Dell.
Yes.
Because the mechanic definitely is going to know about how to, you know, create
can fix a lawnmower.
Mr. Fantastic type of machinery.
You can fix complex biomedical devices also, obviously.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, she injects it into her body.
I think we'll get into this as we discuss the movie, but despite this being 2 hours and 15 minutes long, Idris Elba just hand waves that they can make it look like Shaw's sister killed everybody and stole the virus herself.
Yeah, because this evil organization, this Etion or whatever, they also basically control the media, like a lot of the things in our real world as well. But they control the media, and they release the stories that Vanessa Kirby murdered all her... mission mates and stole the virus. So now everyone's out to find this Vanessa Kirby girl. And now we see Hobbs and Shaw. They're waking up, right? And
they're both going through their morning routine.
This is pretty cool. They split the screen down the middle. On the left's like The Rock, and on the right, Statham. And they just show the two how different they are. Even though they're both going through the same routine in the mornings, Rock gets up, he starts doing push-ups right away, you know, and they're making their breakfast. He's eating all these, he's like 24 eggs or something, I don't know. And then Statham's all classy. He's like a refined British gentleman kind of guy, drinking tea and stuff.
Yeah.
Making an omelet, a fancy omelet. And the Rock's just, you know, banging weights right away. It's kind of, again, if you'd split the screen between me and Cenk when we wake up in the morning, it's kind of like,
yeah, that's right. Cenk's a fancy gentleman.
And I'm hopping out of bed to bang weights.
Just shredding hockey balls.
So, and then I think we see the Statham go and visit Helen Mirren then right away. Is that what he does?
Now they both go to like a club and fight people. I don't remember why.
Well, they're trying to, they get word that this virus was fine. They're trying to find the virus.
Yeah.
So Hobbs goes to like a, it looks like an Asian tattoo parlor where he goes.
Yeah.
Hey, this is probably where Cenk got his ghost face.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how I got it. It was every time I didn't give the right answer, the Rock would tattoo things on me.
Yeah, this was rough. So again, they're showing the splits of like how Rock's just going in brute force, you know, knocking people out and stuff. And Statham's doing all the kung fu and everything and being all cool.
Yeah, using a champagne bottle.
Champagne bottle.
Thought that was going to break.
And like whipping people with towels or something. I don't know. But it's a nice, I like how they were doing that stuff. I thought that was pretty good. But yeah, at one point, The Rock, yeah. They show him. He gets to the guy he needs, and he's in the tattoo chair. And Rock gets a tattoo gun there. And he says, all right, we're going to play a game there. Every time you lie to me, I'm going to, you know, tattoo you or something. And so he tattoos something on the guy's forehead. And yeah. The guy, I don't know, does the guy even give him any information? Or I don't even know if he does.
I'm assuming, not on the actual screen. The parts that you would think you would write into this movie are not actually in the dialogue.
But, all right, so here's the thing, though. We know he tattooed something on his forehead. So then when The Rock leaves, the camera goes to the guy, and we see a close-up of his face, and he says, what did he write? And we see his forehead. This is such a good opportunity to make something very funny and very memorable. You know?
Yeah.
But, Cenk, do you remember what he wrote on his forehead?
No, I don't.
Yeah, see, that was the problem. Everyone's going to forget because...
exactly.
Oh, I remember.
Go ahead, Tuffy.
He wrote, I Heart Cops.
I Heart Cops.
Huh.
What?
Yeah.
We can do better than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do something.
Yikes.
Like, do you remember, do you guys ever hear of a show called Pete and Pete? It's on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
It's about two brothers.
Sure. Pete and Pete.
Well, in there, the one kid would always tackle somebody and pin them down on the ground and write mucus on their forehead. That was pretty funny. So I was hoping he tattooed mucus on his forehead.
I think we could do better, but still.
Yeah, we could do better than that, too. But mucus is better. I love cops. Yeah. That's workshop.
Yeah, that's
let's come
sauce.
Up with something really, you know?
Yeah.
Let Ryan Reynolds do it. We'll come up with something.
Yeah, that Ryan Reynolds, he is good. He's very good. Yeah.
I'm imagining he made up most of his dialogue because it was noticed.
Yeah, his dialogue was way different than everyone else's dialogue.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, all right, then do we see Shaw go to visit his mom?
I don't know.
Yes, and The Rock is at the diner with his daughter when Ryan Reynolds comes. We're kind of cutting between the two of those now.
Yeah, so Helen Mirren's in prison, and even though she's in prison and she's 71 years old, according to Statham, she has a fashion designer haircut and all her makeup properly done and everything.
Helen Mirren, you know, she looks her age, and Jason Statham looks his age. So is the other girl supposed to look like that when she's like 49?
I think they're trying to say that Statham is only like, you know, 35 or something.
Yikes.
Okay. Yeah. Helen Mirren was like almost 40 when she had kids?
Sure. Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Okay. When you're a dangerous criminal, you gotta put that out of having a family.
But Helen Mirren looks good, and she's he's what does she want to do? What was the point of this exactly? Oh, to find out about his sister.
She wants him to make things right with the sister. They don't talk anymore. So she's like, yeah, why don't you go? You guys used to be so close and you were kids. Always pulling in your scams.
Yeah, they were scamming. Like, yeah.
As kids. And we see a flashback to some of their scams, I think.
And, yeah.
Yeah, the Mick Jagger is one of them, I know.
And, I didn't even know what that meant. They made a Mick Jagger joke, and I was confused.
Yeah.
But he says, hey, you want me to break you out of here there, Mom? And she's like, no, I like it here. Sorry. It's no big deal. I'm cool. So she stayed in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I thought she also asked why he didn't bring a birthday cake with, like, a file in it.
Yeah. Or she wanted C4, right? She goes, or just put some C4.
Yeah, instead of a file. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, when they bring her in, she's like handcuffed and shackled. But then when she gets up to leave, she slipped out of the shackles and she hands them back to the guard. So, you know, she's a sneaky one, this Helen Mirren. And, so then we see, like you said, Hobbs and his daughter at a diner. And
this is natural dialogue right here.
Yeah, this is part of the dialogue I was talking about. painful. So painful. Like, fucking doing?
That history report wrote last week was so good.
Yeah, he's going to, she brings her schoolwork to the diner so he can look at the grades. A plus. But what's the deal here with his, like, what's his situation? Because apparently she stays with his sister because he references, like, his or her auntie. And you'll just see a woman standing in the background of some shots with the girl when she's on the phone. I guess that's the auntie. So whose baby is that?
It's like the mom's sister, because it seems like he had cut out his whole family.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, that would make more. But who is the wife or the mom in this situation? Do we know from the past other movies? Or
I don't think so.
Good question.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this franchise, they just throw characters in and just explain in two sentences the backstory, and that's all you need to know.
I love that The Rock
cars? All right, that's all I needed.
The super jacked secret agent takes time to be a good dad with his daughter.
Yeah.
And the daughter loves him unconditionally and cracks wise with him and everything because he's such a good dad. He's always there for her, except when he's out saving the world and chasing around Vin Diesel. But, So, well, while they're at the diner,
she was apparently in the movie previous to this in the Fast and the Furious, because Hobbs initially appears coaching his daughter Samantha's sports team before being approached by the government to go on an off-the-books mission. So they had established that he had a daughter, but seems like that's not as much as you would know.
I was just wondering if it was like one of the other ladies from a Gal Gadot or one of Jordana Brewster, one of them deals from the other movies. But all right, so Ryan Reynolds shows up though, Jank.
This scene took off. This had legs. I was like, more of this, less of everything else.
He's basically just Deadpool in a suit. He's just doing it.
Yeah, pretty much. He's just talking really quick, just throwing out lines left and right. He's like clearly in love with The Rock. Like he's like, we got tattoos together, and The Rock's like, no, we didn't. And like he lifts up his shirt, he's like, I remember getting this. And he's got like the same tattoo as The Rock, like on his chest.
Like they got a Samoan tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty, Ryan Reynolds is always great. So except maybe Green Lantern.
Throwing some high heat. Yeah, that's true. Even he couldn't save that one.
But basically, he wants Hobbs to go on this mission, you know? You got to go on this mission to save the world. Because this virus, what it does is it melts your insides, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the best part of the post-credits. Where they're like, there's a new virus. It melts your outsides.
the post-credits, I think it was very funny how he was talking. He thought The Rock was his daughter.
Yeah.
Because he says, your voices sound so similar. He's like, no, honey.
Seriously, tape yourselves and listen to it.
He's like, no, honey, put your dad on the line. He's like, it's me. All right, anyway, we'll get there. But, so you have to go get this virus. And he's like, you know, this could kill this is very like if you die, it melts your insides, and then your body like decomposes and deteriorates and floats off into the air, and it can contaminate everyone else. So like the whole world could end basically if this happens.
Yeah.
So.
You know, little girl's not plus because she's watched Game of Thrones at her friend's house. So.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Game of Thrones references.
Yes.
Even in the fight scene, because I had to double check. I think this was filmed before the last season of Game of Thrones, because Statham does a move with the champagne bottle that is, you know, they're holding your hand up with the weapon in it, so you drop it to your other hand. That's the exact same move that Game of Thrones used to kill their big big bad guy in that one.
Well, that's been done before, though. I mean, that kind of move.
Yeah.
I've seen that before. But yeah, I guess there was controversy because the post-credits scene, Reynolds makes a reference to Game of Thrones, and I guess... when this was filmed, like somehow it ruined the spoiler for like the final episode, but the final episode aired then before this came out, but like the clip was released of Ryan Reynolds before. So there's like some controversy there that he ruined something, but, I don't know. It's very confusing, but yeah, they had to do an awkward Game of Thrones reference with this little girl here. He says, "You know nothing, Jon Snow," to her.
What are we doing?
This is a screenplay for what are we doing? That's some pride. That's some fucking pride. But yeah, I don't know.
All right. I mean, I guess it's better than throwing the word family out every 5 seconds, so I'll take it.
Just throw out a Game of Thrones reference every 5 seconds. All right. So now we cut to I don't know what.
Hobbs and Shaw find out they're working together.
They show up at the office together. And Shaw wants no part of this Hobbs fella. And they're getting into it out there in the office. And they're yelling at each other. And Hobbs is saying, "I hate your voice. Your stupid little voice. And a stupid accent." And then he says, "Oh, yeah, I hate your face." This is weird
because he's like, "Oh, I hate Jason Statham's, like, nasally voice." Like, what? He's got like this really low, like, British voice, like, talking like this. I wouldn't say that's really, like, high and nasally.
But then he tells The Rock, "I hate your face. Just looking at your face makes me angry." So then The Rock's, like, leaning on some table there or chair, and he says, "Well, what are you going to do? Pick up that chair?" And he's saying, "I'm going to take this chair, turn it sideways, and shove it right down your throat." Yeah. That's not The Rock. The Rock's line is turn it sideways, stick it right up your candy ass. So why didn't just use The Rock's line? Just use the line. Why?
Yeah. I mean, they referenced the eyebrow thing, so that's...
Yes!
You're already going for it.
Turn this son of a bitch sideways and stick it straight up your Rudy Poo candy ass. How about that? That would be a huge pop. And then, shove it right down your throat. What are we doing? So, I don't know.
Yeah, missed opportunity.
So, Statham, though, he begged, he's like, "I'm out of here. I'm not working with this jabroni." And The Rock's happy, though. He's like, "Hey, Statham's not here? Cool." And they start planning things. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because then The Rock goes to track down Hattie, Statham's sister, and Statham goes to her apartment. I don't know if we're supposed to know that he knows who it is at this point or what. But
who knows who? Like, you mean The Rock knows it's... Wait.
Statham knows it's his sister?
Yeah, he knows, because she's been on all the news. And that's why he went to her apartment.
Got it. Yeah. And there's all kinds of booby traps and stuff she's got set up, because she knows Idris Elba's coming after her, and of course the guys from Etion show up, and he's fighting all them, and The Rock goes and tracks her down, and he's fighting her. And
yeah, how did they make a big deal about The Rock as some great tracker? He can find anybody.
Yeah.
Do they actually say how he finds Hattie?
Exactly? Like Wolverine.
Now,
I smell.
He just he pulls up a overhead shot of all the camera angles that can see wherever she left from, and goes, "Oh, she's clever." And then next thing you know, he just finds her.
Yeah. Yeah, they cut some corners when it comes to that kind of stuff. They're just like, "Oh, he found her."
Yeah.
And she's wearing a little wig. And they have a little fight scene, and she's, like, beating out. This Hattie weighs, like, 110 tops. and she just beats the fuck out of guys throughout the entire movie.
Well, at least The Rock at one point doesn't just, like, grab her by the waist and, like, hold her up in the air where she can't do anything.
Yeah, I was a little phony, though. Like, clearly she was on wires. Like, the way she looked them up. Like, just have The Rock do it. You know, like, make it look more realistic. So, yeah, he captures her, and he brings her back to the headquarters. And, wow. This dialogue in this scene, I just want to punch somebody too. Do you like to dance? Do you like Austin Tango? Takes two. We're going to dance.
Yeah.
He's having
a stepped on my toes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Try again.
Fucking annoying.
Yeah, that was bad.
But there was a good, I liked the bit though when he gets up from the interrogation table with her and he has a new agent there to watch her while he goes to call his daughter or something. I don't know, cause you know, you gotta do that. They're trying to save the world. But he gets up and he tells the guy, hey, if she moves, shoot her in the face. And yeah. She's like, well, you can't do that. You know, coming, no, you shoot her right in the face. Just shoot her.
He'll totally go to jail for that.
I like that. That was pretty good. Yeah. And then, he leaves and, he's talking on the phone. While he's talking on the phone, this Hattie girl, she just escapes and just starts beating the fuck out of this poor guy who was supposed to watch her. And she beats the holy hell out of him with, like, this chair and, like, putting it around his neck and whipping him into walls and shit. And, like, everyone else in the office is apparently not paying attention. Because this is going on. And they just keep typing away on their keyboard.
Like, they didn't like that guy anyway.
He's a jackass, that guy. So, and then The Rock comes out and, he's about to, then she pulls out a gun and just like puts it right into his face. And she kind of like has him wrapped up in a triangle with her legs and like just shoot him already. Like what? I don't understand. Like, yeah, they just shoot. I don't know.
Not a bad person, you know?
I suppose. But yeah, she's dying. She's got this virus in her. She knows she's not going to be around too long, you know, cause this virus is going to kill her. And, yep. So she's trying to figure out a way to get the virus out of her or whatever. And then Statham just shows up at that point as well. And he puts a gun on The Rock. Then they all pull out guns and they're all just pointing their guns at each other in like a good and the bad, the ugly situation. And it was just, it was rough. It was rough. Now to the scene that we need to talk about in great detail.
Yeah, this is great.
All right, Tuffy, why don't you walk us through it?
Again, the Etienne guys show up at this headquarters and just bust in through the window, you know, on the 70th floor or whatever this building. Kill everybody who's not The Rock and Jason Statham and his sister.
Yep.
And then
they want to kidnap the sister. They want to take Vanessa Kirby alive because they noticed the virus is in her, so they got to take her alive. All right.
Yeah. So the windows are busted out. There's some other guys on the roof who shoot ropes down, and they just start rappelling down the building with Statham's sister. And The Rock and Statham.
And they're not just like rappelling; they're like walking down, like they're standing.
Yeah, they're running down the building, basically.
Yeah, and Elba's got her on his shoulders like a fireman's carry. And they're walking down the building, the side of the building.
Yeah, so The Rock and Statham are standing there at the threshold, and The Rock says, on my three, one, two. And then The Rock jumps out the window, grabs the rope to start rappelling himself.
Well, not rappel, just slide down the wire like a fireman's
pole. Actually, he is holding the rope, and then he lets go.
But his hand would just be non-existent. Like, it would just be all the skin and bone would be just rubbed right out of that hand.
Yeah.
Like, sliding down that board. Like, he doesn't have gloves on or anything. Just his bare hand sliding down
You're going to have some wicked burns after that one.
Yes. And then, like you mentioned, after a while, he's like, you know what? I'm just going to let go.
Yeah. See, The Rock knows that. So he knows I can't ride this rope all the way down. So he just lets go and starts falling.
Oh,
the lesser of two evils.
Yeah. And he lands on
a big pane of glass.
And, well, not yet. Falls. Not yet, right? Like, that's still later.
Yeah, he's got to hit four guys still.
Yeah, he falls his way down this enormous building. Like, he falls about 20 stories.
Peter Salva and two henchmen are rappelling. So first he lands on henchman one.
He just lands on him, starts beating the fuck out of him. Then he, like, he jumps off of that guy and goes to another guy.
He starts swinging around because Statham jumped in an elevator that's on the outside of the building, just bashed the controls, so it's just free-falling.
Because that's what happens if you just punch the control panel on an elevator, just free-falls.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
So the Rock swings over, jumps onto the other henchman, takes him out. Then,
and again, the Rock is not attached to anything. And he's not a superhero.
Yeah.
He's just using gravity to fall onto random people.
Yeah.
Having time to have shit going on with Jason Statham in his elevator, like flicking each other off.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And there's like a glass balcony on like the first or second floor of this building, you know, on the street level, or glass overhang.
Yeah.
And so Hattie cuts Idris Elba's cable, so they fall the last, like, you know, 10 feet or whatever onto this glass. And then the Rock just jumps down on top of them, so him and Idris Elba crash down to the ground through the glass.
Yeah. And Idris Elba is a robot guy.
Yeah.
The Rock is not. The Rock is just a guy.
No.
But he just pops straight up.
Hell of a beating, I'll tell you that.
Not a mark on him. He just pops right up. And then they start fighting in the street. But Idris Elba, he's a robot. He can, like, analyze all the moves before they happen, you know? So he's beating the fuck out of the Rock. And then
Statham, during all this, if you just hit the bash the control panel again, that's like the emergency brake. So he doesn't crash into the ground or anything.
That's right. It free falls for a while, and then it just stops. So then, Statham drives some fancy car, doesn't he? Pull up and then get in his car.
Yeah, he's got some fancy sports car, so they get into that, and then there's a car chase because now Elba and his motorcycle gang are chasing that car through the streets of London.
But this annoyed me too, because when he gets in the car, he tells his sister, you know, get in the car, and the Rock comes in, and he goes, no, not you, just the girl. It's your sister.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just say, not you, just have her, not you, my sister, but the girl. Like,
it's
your sister. Anyway, just weird. Jank, how'd you feel about that scene? The old the building scene?
Oh, I mean, the finest thing since the ending of The Godfather.
This has to be a nominee. The whole
building. I'll put it up there. I mean, it was great, is what I thought.
It kind of reminded me, Jank, you saw Shang-Chi, right? Do you remember that Shang-Chi?
No, movie? I didn't.
Okay, because there's a similar, somewhat similar scene on a side of a building with scaffolding involved, and it's just as ridiculous. But I think is even more ridiculous.
So. Yeah, I mean, we could put it down for best scene also.
Go ahead. right away, I just had an image in my mind. Remember Kurt Russell surfing next to the car in Escape from LA?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Kind of similar.
So. I mean, the special effects are actually good in this movie. They're ludicrous, but the special effects are good.
I suppose. I don't know.
Like, they don't
until they got to the whole helicopter thing later on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let's see. All right. So they're driving around in their car. Then there's a big car chase, and they get away from Elba, right? And they. I don't know. They have to figure out a way to get the virus out of Patty.
Yeah, this is when they go. This is when they go talk to Statham's girlfriend or whatever.
I don't think that's till way later, right?
No, they got to talk to that doctor guy first who knows about how to get the virus out. Okay.
Yeah, there's this doctor who invented the virus, and they have to track him down, but they don't know where he is. But thankfully, The Rock is the greatest tracker ever, because he has a picture of this guy on his phone.
Oh, yeah.
Statham says that, that's a Russian newspaper. There's only one place in all of London that sells Russian newspapers. So... They go and win. And thankfully, they show up a minute before he's going to buy his next newspaper. They don't have to wait another day or anything. They just show up, and the guy pops, buys another newspaper.
This is all really good luck, because it turns out Hattie only has, like, 20 hours to live.
Yeah, thank God he needed a newspaper so quickly after they figured it out. So, yeah, they capture this Russian scientist guy, and he's like, you know, they tricked me. I invented this. I thought this was going to be delivering a vaccine to heal people, but they turned it into this virus to kill people. So he's all mad at them.
They manipulated me. They didn't keep the promise, and I don't care anymore.
So the doctor has some machine that they can use to suck the virus out of her body, right?
Yeah, the two options are get the virus out of her or kill her and burn her corpse.
Well, let's go for the sucking thing first, and we'll see.
No, you might get hungry.
So... well, they're trying to do that, though. I don't know. There's so many. There's like 30 million action scenes in this movie, so.
Yeah, it got to be too much. Awesome.
They all just blend together.
No.
Yeah.
I don't even remember how they get out of this situation.
Well, they find out that the machine is held by the Etion people or whatever, I believe. So then they have to go talk to Statham's girlfriend because she's the only person who would know how to break into that place, I think. And this is where Jason Statham makes all the fake passports and changes their biometric identifiers so they can get through airport security.
And yes, and the quote you gave at the top of the show, Tuffy, what did he call? He made the Rock's name what exactly?
Michael Oxmall. So then he gets to the security guy at the airport, and the guy goes, Mike Oxmall? Because it's,
people got paid to write this.
Yeah. yeah, right, then they're on the plane, and they're bickering back and forth about how they're going to do the plan or whatever, or whose fault it is that they're in this spot, but... Then Kevin Hart turns around. Oh, he hears a whisper, and he's the air marshal.
Yeah, they're arguing because Statham thinks that The Rock wants to, you know.
Oh yeah, bang his sister.
And The Rock says, "I'm
just a big chiseled mountain." The Rock's only doing this because he wants to bang his sister.
the Rock says, "If she wants to get on this brown, what does he say? Brown Jack, mountain of a man. If she wants to climb this mountain of a man, then that's up to her." Not up to you.
Let her climb.
Yeah. Awesome. Everyone else on the plane is sound asleep, except for these two and Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And Kevin Hart's the air marshal, and
Kevin Hart's still awake because they were only showing Kevin Hart movies, so he's the only one staying awake to watch them.
Well, yeah, he turns around. No, he's pretty good in this. I don't know, and
he's less horrible than he usually is.
Is that like a
big brown, well-endowed, tattooed mountain of a man?
Yeah, there you go. It's like I have a twin. Is Kevin Hart in all of Rock's movies?
Not all of them, but they've done a few together, for sure.
Yeah. Pretty much most of them. Seems like he's in there.
Yeah. They were in that Central Intelligence movie together, the Jumanji movies.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. All right, so what's his role in this, Kevin Hart? What does he do exactly? He's the air marshal.
He's just an air marshal, but he used to be in the special forces, so he can. His role is that he gets them a flight to Samoa from Moscow later, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, this is all very confusing to me. So do they have this? At some point, Idris Elba captures Hattie.
Yeah. No. They let her get caught because that's their plan is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let her get caught, and then they won't expect us to come try and rescue her. That's how they find out where his thing is, maybe?
Yeah, I think that was the idea. They'll tag her somehow, and then they would find their headquarters because they would take her back, and then they'd go in and rescue her.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what happens. I can't remember what the scene was like, though, when they capture her again.
Just Statham's girlfriend calls up Idris Elba and hands her over, basically.
Oh, okay. Well, that was easy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this says Statham's girlfriend. She's some, they call her, do they say she's a Russian gangster or something? Is that what they say?
It could be.
She lives in some mansion, and they go in, and aren't there, like, people being tortured in this mansion? And they show up or something? And I seem to recall people hanging.
Oh, no, it was, I think The Rock said something like, this looks like a Russian gangster's house, and Statham said, he's not a Russian gangster, he's the person who steals from Russian gangsters or something like that.
Okay, yeah, I do remember hearing Russian gangsters. That makes sense. Yeah. I was going to say, the actress isn't Russian, so.
No.
But she's like Q from James Bond. She's got all this equipment and all these weapons and guns and everything. And
yeah.
She's got crazy parachutes she gives them and everything. So,
yeah. Super lightweight, bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
One exactly in the Rock size.
So they have to go and rescue Hattie now from Etienne. And we get another scene that when them breaking in, they each go through a separate door.
Yeah.
They
have to go through. Yeah. Right next to each other with a big glass window between them.
What are the odds of that? So the Rock's room, there's just one giant guy in there with like a wrench fixing a Jeep. I don't know how they got the Jeep into the room because the doors are small. But they get in there. Well, I guess he was reassembling it. They took it apart. And then he's reassembling. but the big guy walks.
It's a long, narrow hallway, so they need to get transportation from one end to the other.
Long, narrow rooms. And this guy's smiling. You know, he's going to beat up the Rock. And the Rock just punches him once in the face and knocks him out. But now on the other side, though, Jason Statham's room, there's about 50 dudes. And it's like a scene out of Daredevil Netflix show.
He's like trying to, you know, show the Rock what a badass he is, and the Rock's just yawning. Like,
but they also can't kill these henchmen because they need their eyes for the iris sensor to open the next door.
They have to.
Statham decided to keep throwing their unconscious faces into the thing without opening their eyelids at all, and they kept not working.
The Rock does his guy right away, and then Statham has to jam all, like, 50 faces into the thing to get it to work, or finally does. And then they're like, all right, here we go, we're in. And they open the door, and now the next room is just filled with Idris Elba and like another 500 guys with machine guns. All right, we're kind of fucked. So they get knocked out because why just murder them there?
Before they enter this little hallway, they set a big bomb in the building to blow up in 45 minutes. They're on the clock here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And nobody mentions it, ever. It's not like they're timing how long it takes. Because also, the Rock wakes up from being unconscious, and they don't have, like, a stopwatch that says, oh, shit, 40 minutes has passed.
Yeah, thank God they're only knocked out for a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's like Pookie's death scene where, you know, there's a ticking clock.
New Jack City. I got that reference now. Because
apparently, Idris Elba very quickly chained them up to chairs and hooked up some electrical thing to shock them with.
Yeah, giant chains all around them, so they're getting shocked. But apparently, Idris Elba wants them to join his side, which...
He's trying to do.
I don't know if it's Idris Elba or, like, the people in charge of him say, you have to try and recruit them, you can't just kill them.
Oh, we should also say Idris Elba
would be like the computer, basically, like that talking computer they had in the Jetsons. I think is basically the boss here.
That's what I was going to bring up. Throughout the movie, Idris Elba is getting orders from this unseen, like, robotic voice and a master computer or something. Like, you'll just see, like, on the wall, like, the audio imprint, you're editing a podcast and the voice is going boo 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 boo, and
Audacity, the true villain all along.
You know who did the voice, though, for that there, Cenk?
I don't know.
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh shit!
Oh,
yeah. He's good with the voices.
they computerized it and everything to make it sound weird. But yeah, that's Ryan Reynolds.
The voice of the Juggernaut in Deadpool 2, which I didn't realize at first.
Oh, about that. But yeah, so that computer guy is giving Alba his directions and everything. So I guess yeah, they want. But that's so dumb. Why would they wonder? These are the only two guys who could stop your plan. Let's recruit them to our side because you know they won't go back on you at any point.
Right. And we also find out there's a backstory between Statham and Idris Elba because they both used to be MI6 agents, and then Idris Elba tried to recruit Statham to this Etion thing years ago, and Statham shot him in the face or whatever.
That, yeah, was Idris Elba in any previous movies, Fast and Furious? Or
I don't think so.
I don't think so, yeah. This is part of his, you know, Jason Statham's mysterious past.
I wasn't sure if they happened to show that in a previous movie. All right. So they have them tied up with these chariots of chains. They're shocking them every once in a while. The Rock says, you know what? Yeah, we should join them. He's talking to Sandra. He's like, let's go to Statham. Let's join them and whatever. And I guess they're just stalling for time because Hattie also escapes. During the
yeah.
Time. But they don't know she escaped. So why are they stalling?
The Rock knew. He saw her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why he mentions Mick Jagger here, which is what they were talking about.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
When they were kids, was like that one of them would be the Mick Jagger, essentially, and try to draw the attention of the guys chasing them. And then Hattie would be like waiting around the corner with like a shovel and just whack him in the face.
Well, so, it was a cricket bat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And
I wrote a book about cricket, so I recognize cricket bats now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're so worldly.
I am worldly.
The sticky wicket.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, yeah, they have this plan now. They're trying to stall. And when they think Hattie's ready, then the Rock says, no, we're not going to join you. And then that Russian doctor just pops in with a flamethrower and starts just lighting everybody up.
Also, before Statham and The Rock break loose, you know, they say, we're not going to join you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to break off this chair. I'm going to break the leg off. I'm going to stab that guy in the neck, punch that guy in the face, do this, that, and the other. And then they're fighting over which one of them gets to punch a particular guy.
Yeah, because Statham says, well, you
I'm going to my face match guy, and that's my dropkick guy. You got to pick another guy.
Yeah, Statham's like, I'm going to dropkick that guy. And yeah, so they're arguing over who gets dropkicked and who gets to smash his face. And then the Russian doctor comes in, lighting everybody up with the flamethrower.
Yeah.
And then they bust out of their chairs. Yeah, there's another big fight. Hattie's running along, like, the tops of, like, cargo bins. Because no one wants to shoot Hattie, because they still need her alive. Because they need to get that virus.
Yeah.
And the Rock and Statham get, like, some dune buggy, and they're driving around this complex in a dune buggy or something. And they got to get
that thing. Because at some point, Statham, the Rock's in like a big flatbed truck. Because at some point,
yeah, he
Statham
drops him off
his dune buggy onto the back of the truck.
Because Statham, Hattie jumps on the dune buggy, and then Statham says, "We got to get that machine that sucks the virus out of her." And she says, "Oh, it's in that truck." So the Rock jumps off to get into the truck, and then he starts taking the truck. And there's like a big chase scene again with everybody.
Yeah, she at one point, the vehicles are traveling in opposite directions, and she jumps out of one and just grabs the Rock's arm, and he pulls her into his truck then.
And she's, like, straddling him, you know? And there's a moment where they're staring at longingly in each other's eyes. And he's still driving, like, 80 miles an hour. Just blind.
Yeah.
But then at some point... what happens there? I don't know.
She basically says, hey, the machine, because the machine gets like wrecked while they're doing their little chase thing. Mm-hmm. And she's ready to just like, hey, yeah, just kill me, burn me, whatever. Let's just be done. Because there's nobody who can fix this machine.
Yeah.
But the Rock says, I know somewhere we can go. Somewhere
instead of maybe calling his CIA contact, Ryan Reynolds, and saying, hey, we need somebody.
If I have scientists.
He says, we need to get my older brother who lives in Samoa.
He's a mechanic.
He fixes lawnmowers on the side. he can fix this high-tech biomedical engineered thing. So that's what they do. They go back to Samoa. And The Rock is estranged from his family and his big brother for some reason. Did they ever, do we know why?
Why? Yeah, talk about it. He tells the sister about it at one point. Like, yeah, their dad was like a bad guy. About it. I think, like, and was getting them involved in all kinds.
Yeah, he was like stealing cars, chopping them up. And then he got his sons involved, but things kept getting escalated and escalated where The Rock said it was too dangerous. So he turned in his dad, and everybody else was mad at him then.
Oh, wait a minute. This is kind of like his family is basically Vin Diesel and his family.
Yeah.
Oh.
And while Vin Diesel and his family, they're still, like, they just kept stealing cars. The Rock left his family because he didn't want to be a part of that, but now he's coming back to be a part of
it. Vin Diesel's family steals cars in the first movie, and then I don't know how many movies after that they're still stealing stuff, but they are basically an international crime-fighting squad at this point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, they are either like the people you call in when you can't call anybody else because they can do stuff off the books.
The 18.
Or they're being blackmailed to look like the bad guy, and they have to pretend like they're not the bad guy. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's the A-Team, exactly. We get a lot of A-Team stuff right here on the island. On the island of Samoa, we get a lot of A-Team shenanigans with they're digging holes.
Yeah.
Baby traps and scooping up cars.
They call Kevin Hart to thank him for getting the airplane, and he's on the toilet. That's a joke in the movie.
So he goes to Samoa and he meets his family, and we see Roman Reigns standing in the background when the door opens.
Not talking.
Yes. Silent badass, which is how everybody always wanted him to be in WWE. Be a silent badass, Roman. Don't talk. His older brother, as soon as he opens the door, the older
brother. Like, talk for it.
Yeah, his wise man. He opens the door and the brother says, "You know what's going to happen now, right?" He goes, "Yep, go ahead." And he just punches The Rock right in the face. And even though The Rock can fall off skyscrapers and all that other crap, he can't take one punch from his older brother without falling down the stairs. But he's like, "Hey, I need your help, you know, because the world's going to end. Unless you fix this high-tech machine, which you surely know how to do.
Not your mechanical know-how."
Yeah, you're good at fixing cars. Fix this biomedical device.
All you need to do is change the oil filter, and then it'll work again.
Maybe shake it. Have you tried shaking it?
Shake it. But yeah. Because The Rock's also confident because they know that Idris Elba's going to find him and come and attack him here. So The Rock says, "Well, don't worry. We have all these guns from when my dad was a criminal." And he opens up, like, the wall safe, and there's no guns in there. Because Mom says, "I got rid of them all." Yeah. So now they really got to do the A-Team MacGyver kind of stuff to build up their defenses.
Yeah. And they're, like, arguing. The brothers are arguing. The mother steps in and, like, gets everybody to fight together. You know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, because now his brother runs a legitimate business customizing cars for billionaires around the world from his little hut in Samoa.
What a gig. He must have a hell of a marketing team that these billionaires from around the world know about. Also, the biggest thing they do when they soup up these cars for billionaires, they put, like, cranes and winches on the bottom of them. And hooks.
Yeah.
So all the cars can.
Because when you're in a street race using all that NOS, you definitely want heavy ass chains dragging behind you.
You want to make sure you can connect to the car in front of you. Oh, good lord. All right, anyway. Elba shows up, you know, eventually.
Yeah, but of course, they also have the MacGuffin here all the guns that Elba and his crew use, they need a chip in their gloves to activate them, otherwise the guns don't work.
Yeah, that would play out earlier because Hattie, when they were rescuing her from the Etienne base, she was going to shoot him in the head, and she didn't have the chip to activate the gun, so he knew she couldn't shoot him. And so now that comes back into play here.
Yes.
Because what did they do exactly? They disabled, they put up some sort of Wi-Fi around the island to make it so.
Yeah, no, they still had a glove, or they got a glove from the last fight or something, so they're able to backwards hack that to disable all the other guns or something, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know how it worked, but it worked.
Science?
Yeah, just disabled them all. The Rock's brother probably figured it out, because he's a mechanic, so they probably figured it out.
I thought it was Hattie who was the one who was doing the computer hacking part here.
Yeah, it was clearly Hattie, but I think his brother probably helped because he's a mechanic. So anyway, Elba shows up and all the guys and all their guns, and they're like, they just see all these Samoans standing there, and they're like, let's just shoot them. Let's just
whatever.
But then the guns don't work, and they're like, oh fuck, there's a bunch of angry Samoans, and they start doing that dance that the Samoans do. They're clapping, stomping.
Yeah,
it's like all in. You do not want to fuck with
a lot of balls hanging out.
So they start, and then Statham, while they're all doing their dance, Statham gets in some car and he drives around and encircles everyone in fire. It's like an Inferno match in WWE.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. And then all the Samoans.
Makes Idris Elba call in the helicopter because now he's stuck in this ring of fire. He needs to be airlifted, basically.
Yeah, but until then, all the Samoans run in. There's just fisticuffs aplenty. Lots of punching and kicking.
Yeah.
And
Roman Reigns speared a guy.
Got weapons, like,
first Roman Reigns, he hits a Samoan drop on somebody. That was the first time. And then later, him and The Rock, like, team up, and they're, like, going back-to-back, basically beating people up. And he hits a spear on somebody. And he does the you-ah.
Yeah. I think they both throw an axe or a sledgehammer at people.
Yeah. Well, that's Roman's only line. The you-ah.
Yeah.
But how was it? How about the tribal chief, though, showing up in the movie?
He was great.
I hope you put up the ones. Jank, did you put up the one when the tribal chief was there?
I don't know. Raise it high.
Means, oh, you put up your one finger. Raise it high. They're the ones. They're the ones.
Yeah.
Well, and, right before the fight starts, they do get the machine working, and Hattie plugs in. But it takes 30 minutes for this thing to extract the virus, and they only have, like, 33 minutes left to get it out of her.
Well, that's great. They have this, like, yeah, right before Elba shows up, they put the machine in, they plug it in, and there's some anxious moments there. And then the brother looks at it, and goes, oh, it's working!
Listen, he might be a great mechanic, but he was clear. Listen, I can't guarantee that I can fix this complex medical device.
But he does. It's working.
This is no Chevy Camaro, you know?
I mean, I got it to turn on. I don't know what it's actually supposed to do, but
it's sucking the virus right out of her. Because that's a thing that can happen. You just can suck a virus right out of somebody.
Well, it's not like, the virus.
I put it
virus
in reverse, so it's actually putting it back into her body.
Yeah, to be clear, Mike Dell, the virus is inside of capsules that are in her bloodstream. The virus has not been dispensed into her bloodstream yet.
Well, how do you just suck out the capsules? You can suck capsules out of someone's bloodstream.
And put a big thing on your arm that's got needles that know where the capsules are, obviously.
Because if you've got capsules, you can just cut them out. Like, just...
But they're like all through her body now, you know? Like, it's how are they?
Yeah, I think they're all only right. Like three capsules, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Go to like a regular hospital where they have an x-ray machine, and they'll tell you where they are, and they can get them out.
So, all right. Yeah, so she has to stay hooked up to this machine, and it's still sucking for 30 minutes. And I've been hooked up to machines that it sucked for 30 minutes, and it was great.
And it kicks on and off, and it gets broken, and they got to restart it, and there's some stuff that happens with it.
Yeah, but eventually, he gets Hattie.
Well, actually, Idris Elba gets in the helicopter, gets her and takes her in the helicopter, I think, right?
Yeah, how does it, does he knock her out, or how does he grab her again? I can't even remember. Well, she's still conscious. She's still conscious, because she's awake in the helicopter, I know that. So anyway, all right, he gets her somehow. And he's on a helicopter.
Yeah, right. I think they just capture her.
And the Samoans are beating the hell out of all his stooges, though. they're having their way with him.
Yeah.
So when they see him getting on the helicopter, Statham and The Rock, they hop on this like tow truck. And,
yeah.
And Rock's on the back, standing on the back next to like the crane part with the chains and everything. And he says, "Get me close and I'll catch it," or something. And so Statham just starts driving, chasing this helicopter in his tow truck. And he jumps off a ramp flying through the sky. And The Rock like lassos the helicopter with a chain.
Yeah. This is great.
And he connects the, and then they're driving with the car, the tractor there, or the tow truck. And, yeah. They're like yanking the helicopter around as they're driving.
Yeah.
And then the helicopters fight back. And then the helicopter.
Yeah, Peter Selma realizes, hey, this helicopter can carry one car. That wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. So he like grabs the pilot of the helicopter and just chucks him out the window. And he says, "You get the day off. I'm taking over." And he starts flying. And so he really ramps up the engine there to start flying. And it starts to lift the tow truck off the ground there. And then, Cenk, what happens?
Oh, here comes another car. And this is one I think that Roman Reigns was in. He's hanging out the back.
No, the first one is his other brother, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
The first one is the Reigns brother.
Reigns comes in like third or something, I think.
Second Reigns is number three.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's like, he's got the chains ready, and they're like, "Throw it around the axles." And just perfect shot, bam, right around the axle of the car. Throws it down, so now he's got two cars trying to keep this helicopter down. And now they got a strategy going, so they can just keep doing that over and over again, get more cars, keep weighing this thing down.
And all these cars, they all have these little gadgets in the back of that shoot hooks out and to connect to the other cars.
No, I guess Roman Reigns is on the first car because he throws the hooks.
He's on the first
then
car?
Then a second car comes in. Yeah, he throws – the other brother's driving. Roman's hanging on the back like The Rock is hanging on his tow truck, and Roman throws the chains from the first car.
Look at you, Cenk. Nailed it. First car, Roman Reigns.
Yeah. And then another Uso comes – with chains on the back of his car, but he just pulls up and slams on his brakes so the chains swing all the way over the car to hook onto the other bumper. So now there's three cars.
Don't we get to four eventually?
Well, then they say we need something heavy, and then one of the big Samoan guys is driving the fourth car, and he says, "I'm on my way," or something like that. And he hooks in, so now there's four cars hanging off of this thing.
Yeah, but the helicopter... Well, not yet, because the
helicopter
tries to whip them off the road, and it looks like
and
we're down to just two tires on the road of the first car. All the other cars are off a cliff, suspended in the air, and with just two tires on the road, The Rock yells to his Oos. He says, "Oos, now hit it!" And then he hits the nitrous oxide, and
because
it's superpower, and then all the other cars hit their nitrous, and they all start driving real fast, and they get back on the road just because of those two tires are still on the road. That's enough.
This was
awesome. And they start yanking the helicopter down again.
This looks terrible.
And eventually,
I don't remember if it was before this or at this point that the chain comes off the winch on the back of the tow truck.
Yeah.
Luckily, before it flies off with the helicopter, The Rock is able to grab hold of it.
Yeah, he snatches it right out of the air. Just snatches it.
Yeah. And single-handedly, literally, pull a helicopter from flying off into the sky.
Yeah, he's got, like, his right arm on the back of the tow truck and his left arm holding the chain and just hanging, pulling the helicopter. It's kind of like Captain America, that one movie. Wasn't he holding the helicopter?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And it's The Rock, though, and he's doing it. And then my favorite part is he just like yanks the helicopter back and just snaps the chain back around the winch. Just like slaps the chain down.
I thought Statham did some kind of driving move to help with the momentum on that.
I don't know, but it was crazy good. Just snaps it
like
down.
Like Statham hits the brake to give him some slack or something to get it back on the winch, I think.
But it's crazy. He just like snaps it down like one of them bracelets the little girls had. You snap it around.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he did with the chain. Right on it. And then he's connected to the helicopter again. And then eventually, like, Elvis says, "Oh, our weapons are back online now." For some reason.
Yeah.
So they start shooting at him too, and the Rock's dodging bullets, and then they start launching missiles out of the helicopter, and then one missile hits in front of all the cars, and magically they all disconnect. So now it's just like all the other Ooses are no longer connected to Statham's car for some reason. So it's just one on one again, and then they eventually like pull the helicopter off. Down and it goes off.
Well, Hattie gets one of the guns and shoots up the controls. The helicopter's crashing now, I think.
Yeah, the helicopter crashes and the tow truck gets pulled down over a cliff with it. And now it's starting to rain too because they said there's going to be a storm coming. So
yeah, that was supposed to help them with their cover, but it didn't come until after the fight was over.
Yeah, so they're all, you know. But yeah, this helicopter just falls out of the sky. Crashes.
And the car. The helicopter and the car both fall off a cliff that is at least several hundred feet high.
Yeah. Clearly Hattie's dead. Because
clearly everybody, except maybe Idris Elba, who's part robot, they would all be dead.
Because Hattie, right before the helicopter goes by, they're like, jump Hattie. And she's like almost, but she doesn't jump in time. And she falls. And yeah, everyone's dead except Elba, right? Clearly, in the movie ends, and Elba wins. Clearly, that's what happens. But no, everyone's fine. No one's injured from that.
Not a scratch.
I think, in-story explanation, because where they land is mostly rocks. Like, maybe there's water there at high tide, and this is low tide. And there's, like, a little tidal pool that the rock falls into. So maybe he was just, like, landing in the water, so he's fine.
I got news for you. It's not going to matter. Yeah. You're going to die.
Ask Gwen Stacy about that one.
Yeah, but Hattie's perfectly fine, and she's still hooked up to that machine. That machine's still sucking her dry. And so Elba gets the other guy who's in the helicopter, because that guy's still fine, too, and he goes, you can't die until I tell you to die. You hold a gun on her, and if she moves, you shoot.
He's still waiting. There's a few minutes until the virus is extracted, so he's waiting for the virus to get extracted first.
Yeah, so but he's like, yeah, then you kill her or whatever. And but then, of course, The Rock and Statham are fine. And they have now a big fight.
Well, yeah, they landed in the little pool there, so they're okay.
And they have their big fight. And Elba, of course, he's a robot, so he can analyze their moves, and he sees everything before it happens. So he's beating the fuck out of them again, you know? And they just, what are they going to do, Tuffy? How can they beat
this? His computer has a limitation.
Yeah.
He can only analyze one person at a time, apparently.
Yeah, but
computers are known for their low ability to, you know, handle complex, calculations.
This is like one of those great moments of genius, kind of like when the chocolate bar falls in the peanut butter. And but The Rock realizes that when Statham was getting punched, Alba couldn't protect himself from The Rock hitting him in the back of the head with like a car door or something, some sort of thing they smacked him with on the back of the head. And he's like, hey, just. What one of us has to just eat a punch so the other one can punch him. All right. That's our plan. Let's just have this.
Vin Diesel's not here. He's not doing it.
Let's just have the cybernetically engineered robot guy punches in the face as hard as he can. And then you, a normal human with flesh and bone, you punch him. And eventually we're going to win because clearly we're stronger than a robot. So let's do that. And that's basically what they do. They just take turns, one eating a punch while the other one punches Elba. And they do that for a while. And eventually Elba's like, you guys are too strong. I can't stop you.
But also the computer guy is
the boss gets
the whole time.
Yeah.
He's like, not yet. Not yet, though, right? Like,
okay.
Because at first they just beat him in combat. They beat him in combat. And he's standing. Yeah. Elba's got his back to the water. Like, he's on this cliff. That's another cliff. They're very high up because they fell.
Yeah.
A very high cliff.
Yeah, they fell several hundred feet, and they're still several hundred feet up.
I don't understand the topography or whatever that
the
word
geography
is.
Geography's a little confusing on this island.
So anyway, he's got his back to the ocean, and he's just defeated Elba. He's, like, battered because The Rock and Statham were just too tough.
In the meantime, Hattie has defeated the other super soldier after the virus was extracted, so she did not get shot.
Yeah, she noticed that there's gasoline leaking, and she somehow sparked the gasoline, so it caused just a big enough explosion to knock that guy down. And then she jumped on him and choked him out with, like, a rear naked choke and put him to sleep.
Yep.
And so anyway, she comes over now. So all three of them are there and they got a gun on. They're just going to kill him, right? They're clearly just going to kill Elba. But no, The Rock says, You love machines. But we're
What happened was there was a spare electrical wire hanging off the helicopter that she sparked in the gasoline. So that made perfect sense also.
But Rock gives this huge speech about how, you know, you love technology and machines, but we're humans. We have humanity, you know? And so we're not going to kill you, Idris Elba. What was their plan here? To reform him? Like,
I'm not sure.
Take him back and make him part of the uses?
I mean, it works with every other villain.
Yeah, that is true. In this universe, every bad person does become a hero eventually.
So I don't know what their plan was to arrest them or whatever, but now Ryan Reynolds, the computer voice, is alive in the helicopter, and what happens?
It's just like decommission him or whatever, and it gives them about 15 seconds till that's it. It's cut off. They just almost just go like, oh, crap.
Yeah, he's like, he says something like, it's a hell of a business we're in or something like that. And then he just, his eyes roll back in his head and he just falls backwards off the cliff and into the ocean. Then Ryan, the computer voice then has a message for The Rock and Statham, right? Doesn't he say something like, you're on our radar now or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get you next movie.
And you're on ours.
Yeah, The Rock says, you're on our radar.
Good comeback.
So then the computer on the helicopter just powers down, the lights go off. So, you know, the computer guy left. And now The Rock and Statham and the sister, they're walking back. And The Rock's like, hey, you did a good job as my sidekick this mission there, Statham. He's like, what do you mean sidekick? I'm not your sidekick. And it's one of them deals where they're going back and forth, you know.
Yeah.
He says,
you're in my home. Here, you're my sidekick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all the Samoans pull up on motorcycles for some reason.
Oh yeah, all of Samoa showed up for this battle, not just his family.
But yeah, so now that's it, the credits start rolling. So while the credits are rolling, we get like these little they fragmented the screen, so we get little boxes of content, and we see like Statham and his sister going to visit Helen Mirren in prison.
Yeah
and she's all excited to see cake. Yeah, she's all excited to see her daughter and that they've reunited, you know, because it's all about family. It's always about family. Yeah. And I think she says, and then Helen Mirren says, I think I want to get out of here now. And so, they're going to bust her out of prison. And then we see Rock takes his daughter to Samoa, and he introduces her to her grandmother.
Who's younger than him.
And so, again, it's all about family, you know, it's all family. And then we get another credit scene. And this is Ryan Reynolds, Jack. So why don't you talk about this one?
This, like we mentioned, he's in the middle of a mission. He's kind of doing cleanup on this whole thing. And he's like, he's trying to call The Rock to let him know that, hey, there's a new virus out there. We got rid of that snowflake virus, but now there's a new virus that eats you out from the outside or melts your outsides.
Yeah.
And this is where we get the bit you're talking about where he's confusing the little girl with The Rock and can't tell their voices apart.
Put your daddy on the phone.
I'm here. No.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. And the whole time you're hearing like gunshots going off in the background, like he's in the heat of a mission. He's like,
And then they end that part of it and they show the rest of the credits. And then it cuts back to that again, where he's talking to The Rock. He's like, you got to get me out of here. Like I'm bleeding all over the place. And then he starts to realize, oh, this isn't my blood.
See, I didn't even see that. I didn't even know there was more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was something at the very end. Like, it lets you skip on Tubi, too. It was nice.
Oh, okay.
Because it skipped, like, 15 minutes of credits, apparently. But, he's like, oh, wait, this isn't even my blood. So I was like, it's all right. And he starts talking about Game of Thrones some more.
Oh, yeah, because that comes in. Yeah. But the first credit, the part I saw, he says, did you see that end of Game of Thrones? I know you did. And he's like, yeah. Then he says something about... no one's talking about how Jon Snow slept with his aunt.
Yeah.
And then killed
her.
And no one's talking about it. And so what does he say about Game of Thrones then at the end?
I don't remember.
There's a lot of Game of Thrones talk in this movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, go watch it on TV. You can find out for yourself what he says.
Yeah.
I'll stick around.
There it is. Hobbs and Shaw.
What talk, a great movie.
Yeah, it seems like you loved it, Tom.
Yeah, I had a great time.
It's too fucking
long.
It is too long.
Yeah, that is the major problem.
It is long, but it moves. I'll say that. It doesn't feel like, obviously the dialogue is terrible and clunky, but the pacing is fine.
Yeah.
Well, it takes like a solid 8 on a bad movie scale for me.
Well, you could say the pacing's fine just because things are always happening. Like, there's always, but I don't know if that necessarily means good pacing. It just means, like, they're just throwing shit at a wall, hoping it sticks.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Like, it was more an excuse. There was a very thin plot. Like, it was no real reason for them to go from here to there. It was more just, we need an action scene. It's been 5 minutes. How can we have an action scene now?
Yeah, and it's kind of like it would take time to Netflix explain how they did it. Like, they just Marvel don't shows. Explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have trimmed like 20 minutes out of this and probably would have been a lot better. Because after a while, everything just blends together, all the chases and fight scenes and everything. It's just like, all right, whatever.
I mean, it's cool looking, but if you do it too much, like anything, it loses its punch.
Yeah. But it is kind of entertaining, you know? I mean, I wasn't exactly paying the most. I was researching the film and stuff when it was on, and I was reading stuff, so I wasn't really studying the screen at all times. But I mean, it was fun, I guess. But again, it was just too fucking long. Too fucking long. Hey, it's got the tribal chief one. Fingers up. Acknowledge him.
I mean, The Rock and Jason Statham did have good chemistry.
Yeah, they're good together. The girl that played Hattie was good. She was fine. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Helen Mirren. I wasn't expecting to see her pop up and stuff.
Yeah.
In her small amount of screen time, she was good. Yeah.
What else? I guess Kevin Hart is okay. And the tribal chief, again, he was great. He was,
That's all you need in the movie.
He's going to start making major motion pictures, right, Tuffy? The tribal chief? He's going to be a movie star.
Because he might just not be a good actor.
Then stop The Rock.
but I feel like The Rock was was more famous from wrestling when he switched to acting than Roman Reigns is now, I think.
The Rock was, a transcendent star there in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But Roman's super deluxe popular right now, though. Like, a lot, even people who don't watch wrestling seem to know who Roman Reigns is, which is weird.
I don't think they do.
I think they do, actually. I think they do.
How famous was John Cena before he became an actor?
Very famous, I would say.
Yeah.
One of the I was not watching of wrestling at the time, but I knew who John Cena was.
Yeah, but see, I think we're in the bubble, but people.
Out of the bubble what I can gather. Time.
But from what I can gather, I was as shocked to learn this as you are, Tuffy, but people outside actually like Roman Reigns. Apparently women love Roman Reigns. a lot of ladies love Roman Reigns. So, it seems to be he made the jump.
Cena was more culturally famous than Roman Reigns is.
Was he, though?
All the you can't see me, that was a thing that went beyond just wrestling.
Yeah, I'd heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. Even when John Cena switched to movies, though.
Don't raise the one in celebration when they score a touchdown. I feel like football players would have been doing the you can't see me when John Cena was at his popularity.
I think some have, actually. Like, there was just a big thing on TikTok recently where there was a trend where people were doing Roman Reigns things on TikTok with, what was it now? It was only in the past couple of weeks. I don't know, but Cena, his first forays into film, they weren't, he wasn't the star of movies. He was, in that Amy Schumer train wreck. He was, a bit part in that, and he was a bit part somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, he's also, I think, a uniquely weird person in real life compared to, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, Roman's a very reserved. He likes to just be left alone.
Yeah. I think John Cena's an actual weirdo underneath the character.
Speaking of which, oh, wait, before we get into that, Jank, what do you give Hobbs and Shaw 1 out of 10?
Ooh, it's hard.
Is this a bad movie scale or a normal movie scale? Because this was like a normal movie released in theaters, and it made hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can...
But I think the Fast and the Furious movies are, like, they're viewed as flock, not as quality film.
Yeah.
Nobody goes to see Fast and Furious. It is, at best, a popcorn movie. You know it's not going to be like a masterpiece of theater. You're there for the action.
Yeah. You're there to see a car go into space.
Yes.
and
not ask any questions about it.
It's uneven, but I guess I'll give it like a 7 because the good parts, I think, pulled it through enough. And, you know, even though it went on too long and there was a little too much action at a certain point, like, it wasn't terrible. We've done a lot worse.
Yeah. Again, just too long. Just way too long. But The Rock is likable in this. Statham was good.
Cast is all solid.
Man, I just, God damn it, get an editor. Just fucking go over the script one more time. Just tighten that shit up.
A writer wouldn't hurt either, yeah.
Yeah, lose the tango stuff.
We need a script editor. We need a film editor.
So, yeah, I think 7's about right. Because it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
All right, Toffee?
Yeah. I'm between an 8 or a 9. I think I'll just go for 9. This movie was great. I would absolutely watch this again.
Well, see, I don't. It's just too long to just put it on. Maybe I'd watch a scene or two of it again. But there's no way I'm sitting through that fucking thing.
And I did look up, like, where does this rank amongst the Fast and Furious oeuvre?
Okay.
And, it's, you know, the 4th or 5th best one seems to be the consensus.
Oh, all right. Holy. I guess that's high praise.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's a very demanding audience.
5 and 7 are the 2 best ones, everyone seems to agree.
Okay.
And then it's some mix of the 8th one, the 6th one, and this one, I think, are the next few.
I thought people hated the 8th one. It was like the submarine, no, like the rocks kicking torpedoes.
I might
shit.
Be saying that wrong. It's because they named them weird, because it's just called The Fate of the Furious. I have to double check which one actually is.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that's the 8th one.
I know Ronda Rousey was in one of them, right? Wasn't she in like a bit part in one of them?
Sounds right.
Yeah. All right, so maybe there it is, Hobbs and Shaw. It's on the Tubis. Does Tubi have any other Fast and Furious? I don't think they do, right?
I'm surprised this one was on Tubi.
Yeah, that's why I picked it, because I was like, wait, this is on Tubi?
You're afraid
they
would
rise
up?
There's something called Fist and Furious from 2019.
Yeah, I think that's something completely different.
It's like a movie from 1954 called The Fast and the Furious, which I think the first one was technically a remake of that.
I find that hard to believe. All right, so hey, you mentioned John Cena being a weirdo at the Academy Awards. He came out naked. Did you see that? He just walked out naked on stage.
Yeah.
For best costume design, I think he was given out the award for.
Yes, he was.
Super jacked, that John Cena.
Yeah, I think the setup was that like 50 years ago, Jimmy Kimmel was announcing someone streaked across the Oscar stage, and wouldn't it be crazy if someone did that again tonight, and then John Cena pokes his head out and goes, Jimmy, yeah, I'm not doing it.
All right. So.
And then he shuffled over with the envelope in front of his little bits down there.
His little bits. So, what do we learn from the... I did not watch the Academy Awards. Did they get good TV ratings, the Academy Awards? Because everybody loves the Academy Awards, right?
Can't believe they did.
Yeah, it seems to be shrinking more and more every year.
And who doesn't love Jimmy Kimmel? He's hilarious. Yeah, I don't think Jimmy Kimmel fucking stinks.
It was their biggest viewership in 4 years. An estimated 19.5 million people watched it.
All right.
That seems like a lot.
But I think in the old days, like, 30 million years to watch it, right? So
yeah. Slightly behind the Super Bowl back in the day, but nobody gives a fuck anymore.
Oppenheimer won everything. Hey, Robert Downey Jr. won. You like Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah. I watched his speech on YouTube. Yeah. It was pretty funny. I liked it.
Did he mention me?
He did not.
Oh, son of a bitch.
He started out by saying, like, yeah, I would like to thank my terrible childhood.
Hey, remember his daddy made that movie, Putnam Swope. Remember we watched, or I watched that movie?
Putney Swope. Yeah.
Hey, then, so yeah, Oppenheimer won Best Picture, Best Director, Best, and he won for that. Then, Emma Stone won Best Actress.
I think also won, right?
For Oppenheimer. Wait, what did you say, Jay?
Cillian Murphy?
Yeah, Best Actor.
Yeah.
Emma Stone won Best Actress for that Poor Things movie, which basically is just, like a Frankenstein. She's a little Frankenstein girl who gets fucked the whole movie. I think it's basically what it is, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Like, yeah, she spends a lot of the movie naked and just getting railed by dudes, I think is what it is about. So
seems to be, yeah. But that's how Yorgos Lanthimos, so should be pretty
good. Oh, that's my boy, yeah.
Dog. Yeah.
I'll have to check that out then. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why I'll be watching it. Because of the director.
Yeah. That's it.
Not because Emma Stone's naked getting railed. All right, but anyway. Who else? I think Barbie won. What's that girl's name? You say I say her name wrong. Billie Eilish. Billie Relish.
William Eyelash.
She won for best song. Who won best supporting actress? Oh, the lady from The Holdovers. That movie I watched with Paul Giamatti. Again, she was very good in it, but when you watch that, you're not thinking, oh my God, this is an Academy Award winning performance.
That seemed like a surprise. I don't think anyone was predicting that one, but she was going to win that.
And again, it's a fine film, but I don't know. It's not something you're watching. Oh my God, Academy Awards are coming out of this movie. It's not one of them. Yeah. But
it's kind of one of those typical. It seems like one of those very typical. You know, it's a curmudgeonly old teacher, but his heart's going to learn to grow three sizes this day.
But it is a good movie. What else? Those are all the big ones, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
I don't even know screenplay. I should look at screenplay. He won best screenplay, but I have no idea.
It was like adapted and
it was Leaving a Fall for best original and American Fiction for best adapted.
What was the original, Tuffy?
Anatomy of a Fall.
What the fuck is that?
That's like a French
movie or something.
Yeah, but like a, you know, some guy died and they're trying to figure out, there's like a court case, you know, was he murdered or was, you know, just an accident?
Well, they probably got bonus points for writing it in French.
All right. So, all right.
There's your Academy Awards roundup.
The dog, there were complaints before because the dog from that movie was at the award, the nominee announcement ceremony, and people were complaining that was going to, people were going to vote for that movie just because they liked the dog.
I'd be complaining.
Did you say the dog? I believe that. Yep.
Not a cat. So, all right. There's your Academy Awards. What else? Hey, Tuffy, I'm up to season 11 of Taskmaster.
Yeah, I'm still on 11 also.
Hey, I love that Charlotte girl.
Oh, yeah. I'm also a big fan.
I like that Sarah, too. That Sarah, she has so much hair. That's Sarah, her hair. It's like extraordinary. This woman, she's got a mane of hair. It's unbelievable.
Charlotte Ritchie, there's a British show called Fresh Meat, I guess, that she was on. That's on Tubi if you want to watch that.
Yeah. Did you ever hear this lady there, Jank? Charlotte Ritchie?
No. Charlotte Ritchie.
She's very cute.
She was the main human on the British version of the TV show Ghosts that's now on CBS.
Yeah. But she's pretty great. This season's pretty good. I'm only about four episodes in, I think. But
I think I'm episode 8 of season 11.
But, I like this season a lot. And all the seasons up to this point, Tuffy, like you say, they're all solid. Like season 10, I think it was, when it started, I'm like, I'm not going to like any of these people. But, you end up liking it. It's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I like these people.
Yeah, because also on season 11 is Mike Wozniak, and he hosts one of the podcasts that I like very much.
Oh, what is that?
It's called Three Bean Salad.
Okay.
What's that about? It's just a, like, it's just three British comedy writers. The premise of the show is they just have a topic that's sent in by listeners that they talk about every week, and it's just, you know, them being funny, basically.
Well, that's good. I like that guy. Yeah, he's very funny. And
yeah.
But yeah, I think my Taskmaster, yeah, Charlotte, she shot up to number one, I think, in my Taskmaster ladies of all 11 seasons. So.
Uh-oh, new top 11.
I like that. I also like that Alice Levine from season 6, I think it was.
Yeah, I liked her, like the red hat kind of.
Yeah, because I also started listening to a podcast that she was the host of called My Dad Wrote a Porno. where the premise is, it's her and two of her friends from college who are both men, and one of their dads wrote an erotic novel, so it's just them reading it, and it's very poorly written, so it's very funny.
I'm sure the dad appreciates it.
Yeah.
I like that. What was that one? Allison B or something? Or Alice?
Yeah, that sounds right.
It wasn't Allison. It was something like Asling. Asling B.
Yeah, Asling B.
Yeah, I think season 5 maybe. I liked her. And I liked the other lady in season 5 too. Like, I want to say older lady, but I'm sure I'm older than her. But I liked her a lot too.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, that's your Taskmaster update.
She's older than you, Mike Dell. She's 53.
Oh, there you go. Right in my wheelhouse. All right, so what else is there to talk about, Tuffy? Wrestling. I saw The Rock was on SmackDown tonight singing songs about Cody and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
So that's something.
Watching basketball. It's March Madness.
Oh, that's right, March Madness. Well, the tournament hasn't started yet, right?
No, yeah, it's the conference tournaments this weekend.
Yeah.
By Marquette on playing Providence when the show started.
When I was a kid, I loved the college basketball. So I was a big basketball guy when I was like a 10, 11, 12, 13, that age. And I loved Pitt basketball because Pitt was in the Big East. And back then, the Big East was awesome. Like Georgetown, Syracuse, Pitt. It was just great. Seton Hall, Providence. Yeah. But now Pitt's in the ACC.
Yeah.
And what are we doing? What are we even doing? It just
there's like no conferences for anything anymore, basically.
Yeah, Big East basketball was the shit back in the day. It was awesome.
It's still very, very good. It's just none of the schools have football teams, basically, at this point.
Yeah. That's a shame. That's a shame. Hey, yeah. Jack, I bet you've already filled out your brackets, right, for March Madness?
My legs are in brackets like Forrest Gump.
you guessed at the 64 teams, and you're just filling them out anyway.
Yeah.
What, have you been watching Jank, anything?
You know what? I don't know what I've been watching, to be honest. It's another week where I just feel like I just blanked out and suddenly it's Friday again.
I
watched half an episode of Cheers and that's about it.
Jank, you cracked 40 now, right? You're 40, correct?
Yeah, 41.
Yeah, see the older you get, the faster time goes. Each week seems like one day, basically. I got to do another fake radio show. So I thought I just did one. I got to do another one. And,
I think I've mostly just been watching like reaction videos. If I'm being honest.
Reaction videos to people watching Hobbs and Shaw.
Yep. Exactly.
I haven't been listening to old radio shows again at night, fall asleep. A lot of old detective shows and stuff. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Listen to that.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of Doc Savage audiobooks again. Just starting those again. And Lord help me, I love the Doc Savage. Big fan.
Yeah.
Man.
What about you, Tuffy? Anything good else?
Wait,
fun at Doc Savage. Is that what you were doing? What are you doing right there?
Maybe.
I didn't hear it. But I didn't appreciate it. I'll just let you know that. All right. But anyway, Tom, you've been watching?
Now, last week,
I was busy editing my video from last summer.
Oh,
to throw that up on YouTube.
That's that porno you made when you went up to the lake. You're editing
a porno. Yes,
Dad made a porno.
Yep. He made a porn. And, yeah, water ski school.
That took there, fucking forever. Does it end up being like
over 2 hours of video in the end?
Tuffy's the headmaster of a water ski school, and some young shapely co-eds want to learn how to water ski. And he teaches them.
Exactly.
And that's the premise. Water ski school. So there you go.
That is exactly right.
Yeah, why do I have to learn how Survivor? To expand my jaw to water ski? Maybe we'll find out.
So, hey, Tuffy, WWE Champions, they released the new Steve Austin today for a 316 day.
Yeah, that son of a bitch Larry already got him.
Yeah, Larry pulled him somehow from a bag, and he already leveled him up there, so good for Larry. But Larry and I were almost going to – you're still in that Swamp People or Swamp Monsters, right, Tuffy?
Yes.
Yeah, so after we did our show last week, Larry emailed me. He goes, hey, Mike Dell, why don't we go up to that faction with Tuffy, you know? And
yeah,
let's get in there and maybe win some prizes and whatnot. And I'm like, I guess. But if they have, like, requirements, I really don't want to be feuding all day like Tuffy does. I don't want to be doing that.
I don't think you have to.
Yeah, Larry says, I don't know. Let's just try it out. Let's just see. So we were all ready to make the move. Like, and he said, let's wait till Monday to do it. Because he was already doing some event, the showdown event or whatever. And he's like, let's just wait till Monday. And I'm like, all right. So I wake up Monday morning ready to join the Swamp Monsters. And then Larry sends me a tweet and goes, yeah, let's not do it. I don't feel like doing it. I'm like, all right. So, like, do you have big requirements, Tuffy? Like, is there what would we have to do?
I don't think there's a lot. Because I think I don't know what the requirements are because I'm going to meet them all anyway.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
that's
sure.
The problem. I don't know if I will.
I think it's just don't get any zeros in faction events. So, like, in a feud, if you do any feuding now, you're going to get some faction points. So you'll get, you know, you'll meet the minimum. And then the biggest pain in the ass is going to be the kickoff thing.
Yeah.
Where they want you to get, like, you know, 50,000 or 100,000, where you got to just play the same match 100 times to get the points.
I'm not doing that.
A lot.
Yeah, I'm not doing
that. That's going to be the one that catches you out probably then.
All right. Well, then it's a good thing we didn't join. So. So I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, wrestling wise, I guess we could talk conspiracies for a minute if you want. I guess there seems to be like a lot of conspiracies around in the world of America and the world of England.
I got something to do.
Tuffy, there's a big conspiracy right now going on with this royal family. Is. Would you like to tell the people what's happening with the royals?
I don't know if I know all of it, but a couple weeks ago, people noticed that Princess Kate just wasn't around, Kate Middleton.
And, she's married to William.
Yes, he's married to Prince William, the current heir to the throne, whose father has cancer. So could theoretically be the king very soon. And I don't know if she just hadn't been around for a while, but they said she had abdominal surgery, so she was going to be stepping away from her public duties for a while, basically. And everybody thinks she's just been disappeared, basically. Or one of the theories, I think, is that Prince William was caught cheating not the first time, basically.
Yeah.
And she told him, you need to knock that off or I'm not going to do anything anymore. And I'm going to disappear and make you look bad. I don't know what the other theories are because I'm not deep into it.
Well, this has hit mainstream now, these conspiracies, because they released some photos of Kate to the AP and everything. Kate is happy and healthy. Look at Kate. She's happy and healthy. But the photos were clearly photoshopped. And in fact, the AP even had to retract saying, these are fake photos. We're not going to run these photos. So then after that happened, they released a statement from Kate saying, like a lot of amateur photographers, I like to Photoshop. And because Kate Middleton is sitting down at her computer at night, photoshopping family photos What the fuck? Yeah, yes. They released that shit. Like, people are going to believe
the Princess
it.
Princess of Wales, who has a staff of God only knows how many people just to do PR and photos.
Kate Middleton has never opened up Photoshop in her life. She has no idea. She's spending hours in front of the computer doctoring up each pixel to make sure her family photos look good. Give me a fucking break. All right, but anyway.
Sounds like Meghan Markle had her killed. That's my guess.
Well, and then they released another photo of her, like, in a car, and you can barely see her. But then people are like, wait a minute, that's not actually that. They put that photo in there. That's actually from a Vogue photo shoot from 2 years ago or something. So even that's a fake photo. So people are like, what the fuck's going on with Kate Middleton? Why won't they just tell us what's going on? So, you know, I'm not way into the conspiracy circles like I used to be, but I got my ear to the ground. And what I hear is that, like you said, Tuffy, apparently he likes some lady named Rose, who is not an attractive lady.
Yeah.
She's like an average-looking lady. You know, Kate Middleton's very foxy.
I mean, it's Prince William's Camilla Parker Bowles, where you had
Diana
was much better looking.
Yeah, it's like we're living in a simulation. It's just the same thing repeating itself again. But the rumor is that William likes to get pegged in the ass. And, and Kate Middleton will not do such things. Rose isn't scared to put on the old pegger.
Wrap up and get to business.
Yeah, so that's why he likes this lady. Now, that sounds like a cooked up theory just by people who hate William, but who knows? But the other theory is that he beat the fuck out of Kate, and he injured her in a domestic violence situation, and she had to go to the hospital, and they're keeping her out of the public view because she's not going to play ball anymore. Yeah, and she wants out, and she's not going to go along. So now they think, they just had her rubbed out. So I don't know what's going on, if Kate Middleton is still with us or not. Who knows?
Yeah.
The royal family. It's super weird, though. Like, why can't she just come out? Something's going on, you know? Why are you making these fake photos and everything? So
at this point, it's video or nothing.
But you think if they weren't going to, like, kill her, why wouldn't they just say, oh, she had to have emergency abdominal surgery and she died?
You know? Yeah.
Right.
That would have been. Because
the paparazzi were chasing her car.
Yeah, because now he looks like the grieving widower. You know, my poor wife died from some. But now everyone's like, what's going on? What's going on? So there's that. And there's also a guy from Boeing. I don't know if you've been paying attention. Like, Boeing's been having a lot of issues. With,
they have.
Flight safety. And I guess there's this whistleblower fella, and he's been trying to bring attention to these safety issues, and he's about to testify and do all this stuff, and he ends up dead.
And that's even his car at the hotel with a gun in his hand.
And he even said, like, there's even a video of him saying, you know, hey, don't. If I end up dead, it's not suicide. Whatever you do.
Yeah. I saw that was another thing where he had told, like, a friend that he was talking to, like, the day or two before he was found, that said, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm just hoping to, you know, get past this stuff soon. And whatever happens, if I die, it wasn't suicide.
And I guess there was another incident with Boeing, like, yesterday or today or something. They had a flight had to land because of another safety issue. So, yeah, there's all kind of shenanigans going on there.
They had the one where the door blew off. They had the one the wheel fell off. They had the one that I think one of them had a flat tire yesterday or today when it took off, so it had to turn around and land again. Another one that just dropped out of the air suddenly. The turbulence kind of movements where people were, like, thrown against the ceiling of the plane. It dropped so suddenly.
Yikes. That's not good. So, yeah, there's a lot of weird shit going on. And then it looks like TikTok's going to be banned in the United States.
Yeah. Unless they sell it in the next 6 months after the bill is signed or whatever.
So, that's weird. But
Steve Mnuchin said he was going to buy it, I guess.
Wait, who was going to buy it?
Steve Mnuchin, the former cabinet member for Donald Trump and producer of Suicide Squad.
What could go wrong if that guy's running things?
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll keep
the
it on that.
Secretary of the Treasury and producer of Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah, yeah, that, yeah.
That's quite the resume. That guy's got range.
Yeah. I think the first Suicide Squad, not the bad one,
yeah,
not the good one.
Yeah. He shepherded two disasters. But good on you, buddy. Good on you. All right. What else? Anything else in the world of America going on? I don't know. I think that's about it. So,
yeah.
All right. I guess we're done here. Next week, Tuffy, is it your pick?
Yeah. Have we ever watched Hobgoblins for this?
No.
We've never watched any of the Leprechaun movies either. Hobgoblin.
Okay. I saw Hobgoblins is on Tubi, and when I Googled it up, that's one of those supposed to be the first or worst movies ever. Contenders.
Okay.
So
sure.
I think that might be worth a shot.
All right. We'll go Hobgoblins.
Yeah.
We can make it.
It's not two hours and 16 minutes long,
so it's got that going for it.
I was going to make a Ned Leeds joke, but only Jank would get it. But Ned Leeds joke. He was the Hobgoblin briefly in Marvel Comics.
The many.
All right, so Hobgoblins next week with Tuffy. Thank you, Tuffy. Thank you, Jank. Flea Market Fantasy this week. Hey, Jank is there this week up there. The Tick is up there right now, I believe.
Yeah, I was doing pretty good, I think, right?
Okay. Power Girl ended up doing all right. Power Girl did all right. Yeah, she's up over 70 now. So
holy hell.
Yeah, she started out real slow. And she got up over 70, so that's pretty good.
Really built momentum.
The X-Men, we did another X-Men to see if it could go for 300 again like the last one. No, it did not. It's about 50 or 60 or so. But, you know, what are you going to do? I think the Tick's around.
Space whales, I guess.
I think Tick is in the 40s. And then our buddy Bob Meyer sat in for Jank last night. We did a New Mutants special edition, 64 pages, an adventure in Asgard.
Yeah. Watch Karma get morbidly obese.
Yeah, did you read it, Jank?
I mean, I've read it before. Yeah, I remember that storyline. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like 600 pounds at the beginning of the issue. By the end, she's smoking hot. She lost all the weight.
A couple hours in the desert. Cures it all.
Deal a meal. sweating to the oldies. All right, I'm just going to name all the Richard Simmons things I know. Hey, what happened to Richard Simmons? That was weird, right? Like he kind of disappeared there, and then people thought he was dead. Remember all that? Do you remember
Simmons? People were photoshopping him with his kids.
Yeah, that was strange. So anyway, all right. So until next week, pass the mochichi, Governor Gabby.
Thank you very much.